Adam's day.
866-901-ADAM. That would be the phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Brian.
No!
Let's see where to start. Well, they had the news about Larry Birkhead and the DNA test.
Yeah.
Although we knew the results of the DNA test a month ago when Daniel K. Stern said he didn't want there to be a DNA test.
Right.
And then we really knew the answer 2 weeks ago when he said he didn't want the findings of the DNA test to go public. And we kept saying, well, when Danny's sober, Danny says, sure, I'll whiz in that Dixie cup. And when Danny is not sober, Danny gets indignant.
I wondered if you'd use that word, because that's what you do.
You get indignant.
Right. How
dare you? Don't get sweating defensive. You get, you don't believe me?
No, I have an exact thing, because this has happened to me before.
How dare you?
It's close to that. It's my body fluids are my own. I am no longer on probation. If you want my fluids, go get a court order. How
okay,
dare
now,
you?
How does that sound if you know you're clean and I ask you for a drug test?
Okay, you got a cup?
That's right.
Or I make a joke. I only do it if you hold the cup. That's what I told Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers asked me to take a urine test on TV, and I pulled my wang out right at her.
That's so unlike you.
The thing...
You know what? It looked like her now that I think about it.
Yeah. Joan's cut, huh?
Your peepee has Botox?
Yeah, it's like this.
No, okay, I meant my scrotum.
Here's how all of life works. If you speak...
Wait. Here's how...
All of life works.
Okay, my life is starting over, Adam, and people keep telling me how smart you are, and I think
really?
So too, so just give me 1 second to prepare for how all of life works. So I'm telling you, I'm the neediest bastard in the world right now, and if you're going to tell me how life works, I want to be ready. Ready? Go.
Okay. If you speak a language fluently and somebody says, really, you speak Hungarian, and you go, yes, I do, and they go, oh, why don't you say something? If you do, you'll say something immediately. If you don't and you're lying, you'll say, why, you don't believe me? That's how it all works. That's what all the tests and all the things and all the people who won't submit to the lie detector, who won't submit to the urine, who won't submit to fill in the blank. All those people that won't submit to that but still look you in the eye and go, I speak this language fluently. Well, good. Then why don't you just say something in Hungarian? Why? I'm not your monkey. Why should I have to dance for you? They don't speak it. They don't. And that's how we all knew. Now, why we all have to speculate each and every time? Jeez, I wonder who, like we're on pins and needles when the one guy who ran to go give up a DNA sample and the other guy had his attorneys try to block his DNA sample. Why we still have to sit on pins and needles to figure out what the decision is? Whoa, man, I got to know which one of these. Of course, Howard K. Stern wasn't. He fought it tooth and nail all the way. Thus, answer provided before the results of the test.
Sumimasen. Kuriwa baga desu ne. Hungarian wakarimasen.
See, that's Hungarian, everybody.
There you go.
I claim to speak Japanese.
That's right.
That sentence was, what are you, stupid? My life revolves around Hungarian?
I'm sorry. It was a metaphor.
No.
Right.
And I appreciate it for that context. But you also have to understand that I think everything's going to apply to my immediate future.
Right, because you need guidance right now.
Everything everybody says to me that isn't just like blatantly retarded sounds so important.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I've never, ever, ever lived alone. I've never had a checking account. I've never had... I don't know where banking is. So everything that people say to me, like, here's what you need to do. I actually am paying attention.
We're speaking of Danny Bonaducci's pending divorce.
All over the news, by the way.
Oh, yes. You know, see that list right there of all that news?
Yeah.
That's tripled since they wrote it down.
Okay.
Now, what news are we? What are we pointing at here?
This is Danny's schedule for.
This is by 11 o'clock yesterday morning.
All right.
Yeah, he's got to be. A lot of people want to talk to Danny.
Got Fox News. Got by the
TV Guide Channel.
TV Guide Channel. Fox News. CNN. Glenn Beck. Then an appearance for the radio station at Universal. Come, please visit me. Bring your breasts. and then Scarborough.
Now they want to talk to you about your divorce.
They want to know, first of all, everybody wanted to talk to me about Imus. So I went crazy about Imus, and then I found out he works for us.
Right.
So now I think he has every right in the world to say anything he wants. First Amendment, God
bless
his soul.
We're on CBS Radio. He's on CBS Radio.
I had no idea. You know, I'm ready to go do what I do. Because, like, I don't care about the people I slam.
Right.
It's my job.
No, I try to explain that to people, too. I don't think much about it. I have no real... I have no malice in my heart toward anybody I talk crap about, except for Mark Anthony.
I was going to say, except for Lindsay Nolan.
It was the only song that got praise last night on American Idol was that horrible Mark Anthony song.
The second I heard it, I was like, this is going in the Idol report.
But I really, not only do I not care, I don't remember half of the stuff I say about half of the people I say.
I said something that got
picked up. I'm going to kill you, bro.
by every news station in the world when this was interesting. Remember when... it started, like, for months in a row with the Anna Nicole and then the Paris Hilton and the Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
I was on one show after the other because I'm the expert on ex-child celebrities or young people taking drugs growing up their lives. So I happen to not like Lindsay Lohan out of the whole gang. That's the one I think is trouble. But I called Paris Hilton patient zero.
Mm-hmm.
I said I also said she's Typhoid Mary. You see her, she's fine. If she's late, it's because she's fashionable. If Lindsay Lohan's late, it's she's in a gutter somewhere. I used to Paris Hilton is not infected by her own disease. She just spreads it.
Right.
Well, apparently people loved that. And that ran everywhere. I don't give a rat's ass about any of those people.
Yeah.
I've got a job to do. Because they're going to say, and you can hear Danny be a big ass on 97.1 Free FM with Adam Carolla. And that's why I do it.
But now, this time, perhaps you'll be talking about you rather than weighing in on other relationships or other behaviors of other people.
It's weird, and I don't want to... Yeah, there is something I'd like to say later in the show about all this that I think is kind of funny. There's a funny side to all this that I think you'll enjoy. A cute little story that happened yesterday, but I don't want to devote the Adam Carolla show to my pending divorce. I mean, it's day one, dude. This can get old.
Right.
But... Inside Edition was at my house when I got home last night.
Oh, really?
And, the first interview I've ever done will be on tonight.
Oh, will be.
I called Dawson and I said, record Inside Edition tomorrow night. Make sure.
The first television interview you've done.
Yeah, so I wasn't prepared for which way am I going to handle this. I'm this guy on the radio.
Right.
But I don't want the divorce. I'm still in love with my wife. I'd go back.
Right.
Well, that's not my guy. My guy, you know, goes and beats people up and drinks too much or whatever it is that my guy is.
And as far as you brought up earlier, Danny has always said that he goes out and sort of makes the bacon and Gretchen not only fries it up in the pan, but also keeps his organizer straight, his schedule straight, does all the T-crossing and I-dotting of life.
Right.
Keeps the paperwork. There's a thing that what happens is
something
I never dealt with in the past. One second,
please.
Which is when you start making money, no matter what business you're in, your schedule gets a little complicated. It just does. I don't know how it does. You end up getting more stuff. And with the more stuff, there's like insurance papers and then there's paperwork that goes along with everything. And there's just people get on the payroll. And I'm not talking about filthy rich and, you know, sitting at the head of some huge corporation. I just mean you have a gardener and maybe you have a pool man and maybe you have a nanny. And these people need to get paid. And you don't know when they get paid or how much they get paid.
Or what days they even work.
And you travel a lot. And the traveling requires a whole nother set of paperwork, and that stuff needs to be where that stuff needs to be.
I get in cars. If Gretchen wanted me to do Good Morning Baghdad,
right?
I wouldn't know. I'd just get in a car with a ticket.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Adam, Gretchen and Danny have a single email address. When you write to Danny, you're also writing to Gretchen.
Right. Yeah, there's no codes on anything. There's no, you don't have to dial anything to get my message. Even you could do it. Just hit the button voicemail and get all my messages.
There's a reason why every celebrity I know has a personal assistant, and it's not because they're all prima donnas, although it's 70% of them. It's really becomes necessary. It'll be the best 35 or 40 grand a year you spend when you're making millions of dollars and your life is you're whirling like a dervish. So Danny needs Gretchen, or at least has been relying very heavily on Gretchen over the last few years. So you're going to have to make a transition to a gay man. Who keeps your schedule.
Are you
that's actually interesting that you should mention that, because it's funny. We're going to end up changing subjects a lot. Hopefully this will calm down and I'll go
away.
Well,
there's a lot to talk about.
There's one cute story, and then anything you guys want to talk about is fine with me, but I don't want to try running the Adam Carolla show because I'm getting a divorce.
Well,
okay?
Adam Carolla wants to hear about
fine.
It.
Fine. That's fine with me. But right. I really don't want to, muscle my way into
this Adam Carolla. This Adam Carolla's had an asphalt.
Right.
No, I want to hear about this story.
I just want to make sure.
That's fine.
Okay, so, but the story's kind of cute, but he's right about, and you're right about the gay man thing, because CBS itself was very nervous about hiring me. They said, we saw that show, he's crazy. Only Carolla got, dude, you don't show up 16 years in a row at 4:30 and never miss, and you're really crazy. He put on a show.
Yeah,
but Brass got scared of me.
You can't do morning radio and be nuts.
No, you can't be strong and drunk.
You can have a personality disorder, yeah, but you can't be. You can't be flaky.
Right.
You can't be Andy Dick type flaky. If Andy Dick replaced Danny Bonaducci starting Monday on the show, we'd be lucky to see Andy Dick by 8:45 on Monday.
Somebody wanted me to do a morning radio show with Courtney Love.
Right. Courtney Love would show up at 10:45 the first day.
Tara Reid's been booked on this show 3 times, never shown up.
Can't do it.
So, okay, I appreciate that. So I'd go into Jack's office, who has expressed his concern and would like to talk to me.
Our program director.
Yeah, but I'm not going to really do it. I walk into his office, I go, you're the cutest guy in the world, thanks for worrying about me, I'll talk to you later. I go to talk to my big boss, Bob, and he's got a guy in his office, and he looks at me and he goes, 2 minutes, and I shake my head no. Put my thumb in my finger, in my mouth, and my finger up, and look like I said, and then looked at my watch, like it's time for me to go drinking, and left because I can't take this serious. I'm gonna go drink over this stuff. But if there were to be a problem, it's gonna come in a dress.
What do you mean?
So it's not gonna be poured out of a bottle. It's not going to be dumped out of a prescription.
You mean you're going to go on a sex binge?
I don't know about a sex. I like being in love. And that will confuse all this because this is all really friendly and nice and we're splitting everything. You show up with a new stepmom on hour 72 of the divorce.
Right.
Somebody's bound to be a little angry at you.
Well, I would like, I know we have to go to break, but you're open and receptive now to whatever anyone has to say because it sounds profound. And I was wondering about Adam's advice to you about whether there should be a holding time, a period of mourning to deal with the loss of this 17-year relationship, or should he start dating today?
I'm not going to date. But there's no way I'm not having sex.
Well, I'm interested in what Adam would have to say about the best way of going about this.
All right. I have thoughts. We will, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. I'll give you those thoughts. And then we'll play a little Rich Man, Poor Man now. Rich Man, Poor Man. How does that go? It's been a little while. 866-901-ADAM. These are things that rich people and poor people share exclusively. The origins of this, I don't even know why I was thinking about it, but a few years ago I was sitting around over at Kimmel's Theater and I was thinking of jokes. And for some reason, the outdoor shower sprung to mind and I thought, really rich people have an outdoor shower and then super dirt poor people have an outdoor shower. But the middle class doesn't have an outdoor shower. And then I started thinking, what else do rich and poor people share but the middle class doesn't? Multiple cars. Rich people have a fine automobile collection. Poor people always have six cars up on blocks rusting out. They're parked down the lawn. Middle class has 2.5 cars. That's about it. 2 beige horse wagons. There are many things, such as spending the day in your pajamas, that rich and poor people have, such as being driven to the airport. Rich people have a town car or chauffeur. Poor people, family member, has to drop them off. The Carollas, you'd have to get out of work so you could grab your mom and take her to LAX because they were too goddamn cheap to take a taxi cab. Whatever, a lot of shuttling back and forth. Riding, it keeps going, but being driven in general. A lot of poor people in the back of cop cars, a lot of rich people in the back of limousines. Rich man, poor man, the things the rich and the poor share, but the middle class, well, it doesn't apply to them. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that, plus a little advice for young Bonaducci next on the Adam Carolla Show.
But you can give them to the bad bees. Back to the Adam Carolla
Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Time for a little rich man, poor man. These are things that the very rich and the very poor have in common.
Lots of big jewelry.
Big shield size earrings. I think poor people overcompensate by going with the big nugget watches and the big jewelry. I've seen black women that look like Mr. T's mom.
It's Rich Man, Poor Man on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. Rich man, poor man. And let's also not forget a little, to dispense a little advice for Bonaducci, still reeling from the divorce.
Yeah, day one.
Day one.
And the events that occurred to me last night have made me think if this is going to continue, there should be some little kind of countdown, because this can't go on.
It's because the first day is the hardest, right? Or does it get harder in a month?
No, this actually, it was a great day. Couldn't have gone better. I thought, I'm going to survive this. Let me just say, four words. Killed it. Some lady said four words.
What did she say?
I'll tell you later when I tell you this whole, how my life was going to be cured, like penicillin to the ass, and then this lady just said the wrong, I think, four words. I'm not sure I can count this morning.
We will get into it. Well, we'll give it the time it deserves in the 7 o'clock hour. Now, a little rich man, poor man.
Rich man, poor man.
Yes, the things that the rich and the poor share alike. One that popped up. See, you'll stumble onto them when you're just having conversation. Rescued by a helicopter.
Ah.
You have the trapped skier in Aspen. You know, you're like Christie Brinkley. You have a little skiing vacation, go south, helicopter picks you up. Or you just have your basic flooded Katrina victim.
Right.
Swinging around in the basket. When you're being pulled out of that helicopter and you're in a basket, but it's from your apartment, that's a bad sign.
Right. It's never a great sign, I wouldn't
think.
It's
never a great sign, but when your yacht turns over in the Caribbean, that's a better basket ride than when you're actually standing in your apartment or on your roof and you're in a basket being lifted from your apartment. If you can't just walk down your apartment stairs and go out into the street, that's a bad, bad sign.
Have you seen the basket spin so fast you think it's got to be doing far more damage than whatever put him in the basket?
It's true. It's like
I've seen it spin like a prop.
Yeah. He didn't drown. It wasn't the flood, but his brain was turned to mush through the centrifugal force of the basket. He'll never be right again. As a matter of fact, we should just pull the plug to the basket and let him go a merciful death. Yeah, do you see that basket spinning around?
Sometimes they get it so it just goes like this. And sometimes it's, well, go like this. That's good radio. Where it's spinning at like an acceptable rate. And then sometimes, for some reason, the same basket, same rescue guys are spinning it, and it is spinning at the pace of a blender.
I must say, if I was at the helm, if I was at the business end of the basket, I would make sure that thing would be spinning.
I wouldn't
be happy unless a kid was hanging on to the edge as it whipped around. Yeah, be your only form of entertainment.
Right, that's
you're
what
out
you get,
there
kid.
Risking your life for some guy who thought it'd be a good idea to go yachting in high seas. I'd get down with that basket.
But what if it was a guy who was just trying to get into this country and ran afoul?
Oh, like swimming from Cuba or something?
Yeah.
More speed on the basket.
I'm okay.
And shoot him back toward Cuba. All right, let's see. You guys have yours, too. Pete.
Ah, some good ones.
I gave some thoughts to this one, too.
Pete?
What's up, man?
What do you got for us?
So I got not using a wallet.
Yeah, good. I think this has been brought up at some point in the past, and don't blame anyone. It's bound to happen, which is, yes, rich guys have the money clip with their initials in it, and poor guys have bills just in coins just shoved in their pocket, but they don't sport a wallet. I mean, you know, that's a cool move. You go out on a date with a guy, and he pulls that clip out with all the 50s in it. That's a class move.
Yeah.
And then there are guys who just don't carry wallet guys.
Right.
Do you see those guys?
Yeah. I do. I've been those guys.
Who are those guys where they... I know guys who have a rubber band around their credit cards and about their cash. I know guys that keep the cash and the credit cards separately, but the money's folded over. Who are those guys?
Clips because I used to be this guy, so I'll give you an interesting little tip. So you want to be cool. Let's say you only have three $100 bills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? You're going out night on town with your fancy clip. As you start to get change through the course of the evening, your clip has to spread further and further and further apart till it won't.
Right.
As you, the clips become useless. So now you have a money clip with all gold and ones and whatever else change stuffed in the other pocket. Because I always wanted to be the guy with the money clip.
Mm-hmm.
And they suck. They're the dumbest invention in the world. They just don't work.
Yeah, it seems unnecessary. But you know, yet they've sold millions.
Millions. Yeah, mostly to me. And you know the wallet they sell in SkyMall? You push the word Visa and your Visa jumps out of the car. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, though I hit the Visa while I was sitting on the wallet. I don't want to tell you where that baby swiped.
First of all, it's steel.
There's a lawsuit. I've said too much.
Yeah, right.
It's steel and it's stupid.
I got the brown card. Others had the platinum. Some had the black card.
I know
I got the Visa brown.
I was mad at Gretchen and a while ago. And, you know, can't drink, can't cheat. This was a while ago. I'm still being a good boy. So I decided, I know what I'll do. I'll spend frivolous money. She hates that. And I spent $1,100 on SkyMall stuff. And the only thing that so far I've been able to make work out of $1,100 are dumbbells that fill with water. So you can empty them so they don't weigh anything.
Hold on, a double-decker cat stroller you've not utilized?
I've not used it.
You may get cats one day, Bonaducci. You don't know.
I have not used
you
that
You don't
yet.
Know, though.
Actually, now, you just
who
made
else
another,
has got some stories?
You made an interesting point about the rich man, poor man, because my neighbor out in their lawn has an old, rusty, what do you call it? Not a Stairmaster, but the stationary bike.
Ah, yes.
It's a home gym.
Home gym.
No, that's true.
Yes. There is, you know, the guys who carry their money in a clip, I'll tell you why they do it, why they like to carry it that way. Pulling money out of a wallet is not satisfying, no matter what denomination. You spread it apart, and then you reach into it, and you have to talk to yourself. Let's see, what do we got? And then you slide it out daintily. It's very gay looking, as Danny just
it's
gave me.
It's hard to have a cool
wallet. Well, I just gave my wallet so he can see it. He's describing that right now.
It seems gay. There's nothing better than peeling off money.
Right. Yeah.
What do I owe you? What's this going to send me back? If you can work to the tune of in it, it's always a good. It's always a power move.
Tony Soprano doesn't pull out the Velcro wallet.
Yes, he doesn't pull out into that thing my stepdad does. All right, Larry?
Yeah, rude drivers.
Rich man, poor man, rude drivers.
Tell us more.
Hello?
Yeah, yes. Now here's the thing about all the rich man, poor man thing. You can either say what it is and we all immediately go, oh my God, you're right. Or you can say what it is and we think, In which case, it is now your time to convince us that this is a good rich man torment.
I'm a truck driver, and rich people think that they're above all the laws. They won't let you over, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And poor people just don't care.
I disagree.
No, I disagree,
I happened to be here yesterday when we read Adam Carolla's Social Security statement. I happen to have some pretty good cash myself. And not let you over, buddy, try and catch us.
That's the thing. I realize I was complaining to one of my friends why this goddamn town doesn't move, meaning Los Angeles. And I have this conversation not only on the air for 2 hours a day, but off the air for probably 4 or 5 hours a day. And
God,
realize
it must be fun to be your friend.
One of the reasons.
Or your little baby girl.
One of the. Yeah, well, here's what it sounds like with Natalia. Here's why this goddamn town doesn't move. Half the people that are driving are illegal aliens, so they have no insurance. They have 5 DUIs, and if they get busted, they're going back to Guadalajara. So you basically go through town like, I imagine, let's just say you're in Poland circa 1943 and you had forged documents. That's how you go through town, very slowly and looking at your feet, because you do not want to have some Nazi stop you and go, hey, let me take a better look at you. Let me see what's going on with those documents. Because half the people in this town, fully half the people in this town, have no insurance and will be deported if they get pulled over. And if not deported, destroyed, because it's a $208 ticket and they make $8 an hour.
I think Waylon.
So they drive scared, whereas I drive with impunity.
Right, absolutely. And I will tell you, that little outburst right there was well-deserved tonight. When you say driving in L.A. is like driving in Poland circa 1943, you'd think maybe Adam's gone out of his mind. Do you know I've been arrested, booked, been to jail, and had to book myself out and bail out? because I was just standing there and a cop asked to see my license and I took it the way Adam just said it and I said, I refuse to show you my papers. I'm an American and I'm just standing
there. Right. All right.
I will not show you my papers.
All right, where the hell were
we? Waylon on line 5 has a good
Waylon.
One.
Waylon.
Yes.
Waylon, good rich man, poor man.
It is.
I got
crazy names like Thurston and Waylon, yeah. Like super white crazy names are either super hillbilly or... super. I mean, I went to school with a hillbilly guy, and his name was Thurston. Just old white, old weird white, you know, inbred kind of names. All right, Waylon, what do you got for
us?
I'd
say more hillbilly on that side.
Yeah, you're right.
You guys have both been there. They attend a lot of parties.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Rich guys go out and do a lot of social work.
When you're middle class, you got to go to bed. You got a job to go to. You don't go to a lot of parties.
How about this? I'll put a finer point on it. A lot of parties out on the lawn. Rich people. Uh-huh. That's a rich people party, or they just put a keg in a rusted out refrigerator and they just put it, and everyone just sits there drinking cider and then, out on the lawn.
I guess you could even go one further then, because often you're not there that voluntarily. Rich man is there because the guy's lawn party is a richer guy and you have to show up.
Right.
And the poor guy's there because there's food in a keg and he doesn't have to pay.
Right.
Right.
So there's lots of reasons.
Involuntary parties.
Involuntary lawn parties.
There's a few there's a lot of outdoor things like breakfast outside.
Yeah.
You either have the fresh fruit and croissant on the veranda that's brought to you. Like in every good 80s movie where there's the rich dad, he's reading the Wall Street Journal. He's out on the veranda and his help brings a tray while he makes a phone call saying somebody needs to be stopped or crushed.
Or sell
or buy or whatever it is. And then there's the guy eating the breakfast burrito who's standing by the lunch truck.
Right.
There's outdoor. Actually, outdoor is one of those weird rich man, poor man things where they both spend a fair amount of time outdoors. One voluntary, but the other because, yes.
One is... the guy brings your breakfast on a tray while you make a call and say buy, sell, crush, destroy.
Right.
I don't know anybody, say, in this room with real dough that hasn't stood by a lunch truck voluntarily because they're good.
Yes. Well, there is a
There's a truck on Vermont at 3 o'clock in the morning that sells burritos that rock.
Yeah, the breakfast burrito should be added to the list of every place that serves breakfast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You just can't. It is everything that's good about breakfast stuffed into a tortilla.
Yeah, it is.
That's about it. It's just bacon and eggs and cheese. And I got to tell you, tip of the sombrero to the Mexicans. They don't screw around with their cashy go lean over there.
Yes, and while we're on food, I've got a disease that's rich man, poor man, gout.
Ah, yes. Why is that?
I think you get it from eating rich foods.
And booze, is it? Or is it just a... gout is a rich... is a blue blood disease.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like there's certain things that the rich guys have from too much inbreeding.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hemophilia. The royal family were hemophiliacs.
Yeah, too many cousins have married each other.
Right.
And then you have the same sort of inbreed problems or inbred problems when it comes to... the poor guys, same sort of hillbilly activity. All right, let's take one more. Talk to Mary. Mary?
Yes, good morning.
Los Angeles, what do you got? Rich man, poor man?
They don't wear socks.
True.
You got the poor guy flopping around in the nasty flip-flops. You got the rich man with the $900 loafers.
I would take it a step further and say inappropriate shoes. Wearing the sweatsuit with the $800 loafers is a rich, you know, the loafers with the buckle on them, like the weird, you know, the ones that are the wafer-thin Italian loafers. Like, wearing the wrong shoes for the outfit. Now, poor guys will wear a suit with tennis shoes to court and stuff like that just because they don't have appropriate shoes.
One of each color. They're poor.
Right.
They found those shoes.
Wearing the wrong shoe for the outfit that you're wearing. As a matter of fact, a poor guy will wear a suit with tennis shoes. A rich guy will wear a sweatsuit with expensive loafers or / dress shoes on it. It lets people know you've arrived. The other rich guy.
It does.
I don't know why. I don't know when this became the garb of the rich man, but the long khaki shorts, the sort of dressier belt than the shorts, the no socks, but the slip-on expensive loafers, and then the sort of then this sort of, I'm trying to think the golf shirt or the kind of the, what am I thinking?
The polo
lacrosse shirt and then the cigar and the baseball cap.
Yeah.
I don't know when that got popular, the no socks. The same guy. He's always got a gut on him, but he doesn't really look fat. And his legs are tan. He has beautiful calves. Who is that guy?
The guy I run away from at 1,000 miles
an hour. And he's perpetually 46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's never 60 and he's never 37. He's mid-40s or he's 51 and looks like he's 46. Super tan, got an extra 20 pounds on him, smokes an expensive cigar, has a very expensive watch. And he's wearing that shirt and he's wearing those khaki shorts down to his knees with the belt sucked in just a little too tight, but the gut's coming over. But it's not sloppy; it's kind of a hard gut.
Right.
Who is that guy?
I'm not sure, but the way you describe him now, I just run away. If you put an ascot on him, he has to be shot.
That's a good point. Anyone with an ascot needs to be shot. All right, we need. Hold on, Karen from. Darren from El Segundo. Darren.
Hey Adam, how you doing?
What do you got, buddy?
Crazy hair.
Very, very
That's
true.
Excellent. Very true.
You got your Phil Spector.
That's who I was thinking.
You got your Howard Hughes.
Right.
And wearing Kleenex boxes for shoes.
Right, and then you just have your homeless guy who's walking around with a tampon stuck to the back of his head and he doesn't know it because he slept in a dumpster.
Thank you, Darren. Up behind him and thought it was fun.
That's right.
Either one, or both.
I've seen guys with two tampons. We need to take ourselves a little break. Oh, Danny's divorce advice. That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll take a break and I'll give him I'll put in my two cents. And then we will give you a little update on outbooking August in April. Our intern, what's going on around here is when you wave 10 grand out in front of people. We just have poor man here.
Yeah.
And people are working feverishly behind the scenes. The thing that's funny about me is I get angry then because I say, oh, this is what you do when someone decides to pay you outside of what you're already getting paid. But people are going above and beyond whatever their job description is in booking. We have some big news regarding that, and we'll do it next on the Adam Carolla Show. I've said this about Mike August many times. He is the best talent booker from within the building. Right. A lot of guys have a Rolodex. A lot of guys do well with other people's publicists. But if you need a hot chick from the sales department to come down the hall, Mike August. So nobody, no, within the, it's like in football, they're great dome teams. You know what I mean? They play well indoors. They don't do well in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. August, best from within the building. So we have some announcements. We have some bombshells to drop. But first, I'll tell you why I'm so interested in this Outbook August. I've put $10,000 up of my own money. You're welcome to it. I'm welcome to it. My family members are welcome to it. People that work for this station or competing stations.
How would I know that?
People in prison are welcome to this money. If you are calling,
there are people in prison who could win this money just by showing up
at a California correctional facility.
Absolutely. If you spend some time in the joint, maybe you hung out with Suge Knight. I mean, there's a lot. No. I mean, there's a lot of popular celebrities that have done time in
Martha
the joint.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
I've met a couple.
You befriended who?
Like the idea that you can be yourself.
No, but you get the money.
You were in a drunk tank with Mel Gibson. That's right. You got his home number. You guys bonded.
But I mean, if I booked either Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, and he gave us serious gory details.
Sure.
That's pretty interesting. Or either one of the Menendez brothers.
Yep.
Right.
And they gave us the real stuff. That's an interesting guess to me. Yeah. I don't know that it wins the 10 grand or not, but there are people in jail that, you know, if you'd have got Dahmer before he got killed, I'd give that a B+, especially if you told me what people taste like.
Oh, listen, if you could get Manson to pick up the blower and called 866-901-ADAM, Charlie, if you're listening.
10 G's, Charlie.
10 G's going right to
Imagine
you.
Imagine all the X's
and
you can
celebrities
carve
can book right. themselves and give the money to the charity of their choice.
Right.
So they don't seem greedy.
I love this because I love to motivate people, and this is why we live in a country that gets things done, and we live in the best country in the world because we have that system.
Yeah, capitalism.
A lot of people want to remove that. I don't. It, you know, a lot of people do that thing where it's like, hey, man, why do these big drug companies get to profit so much? I like them to profit so much. It gets them off their ass. Here's how it works. They profit so much, and AIDS goes from a death sentence to a chronic illness. It goes to something you live with. That's why, because they profit so much. Now, do they profit too much? I'm sure they do. Could they charge less? Yes, they could. Are there people that need their drugs and can't get them? Because it's yes, 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 yes to all the evil things. But the one good thing is AIDS doesn't kill you anymore because there's a profit to be made. I saw Big Tad sucking up everyone's oxygen and peanut butter out there. I thought he was he's really just like a mascot for the show. He never did any work. He was like a lucky 350-pound lump. I would rub him before segments and walk out before I went to the studio. Whatever he is, every part of him is his belly. You hit him in the head, you hit him in the belly. Until I dangled $10,000 in front of him, and then he won it because he busted his super fat, endless crack ass for the first time since I've known him, and it's been for 13 years. That's what I love about it. I was yelling in the hall the other day. I don't know why, but when Bobcat Goldthwait was in here, and I was talking about school food. And I was talking about why couldn't I get a decent burger when I was in junior high or high school? It was the world's worst hamburger, and it was twice as much as McDonald's. How could McDonald's make a delicious 39-cent cheeseburger, but Walter Reed Junior High couldn't do one for 89 cents? So double the price, but one-tenth of the flavor. How does this work? And then I thought, that's right, no competition. There's no Carl's Jr., there's no Wendy's, there's no Burger King inside of Walter Reed Junior High. Doesn't exist. No competition, institutional food.
Right.
Institutional, fill in. McDonald's, they have to make a great product, and they have to make it cheaper in hell. Otherwise, everyone goes across the street to Carl's Jr. That's the way it works. And now Carl's Jr. is trying to outdo McDonald's. And guess who wins? My belly.
Competition is good for the market.
Or you can go over to Walter Reed and see what they have for twice the price. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the economics lesson. And you're absolutely right. And I'm that's why I liked it when you read your statement. You talk about your cars. And this is the first time I've ever done it on the radio. Like, describe that my house is big rather than it's just a house.
Right.
Because I've always hated it that people on radio have to lie and pretend they're, you know, just... They're all Bruce Springsteen before he made it, and they're working down at the docks.
Well, even he can't afford sleeves now that he's a multi-millionaire. But it is Gretchen's house now, Danny. I don't want to correct you. Let's keep pushing for it. That's right.
Intern David is
Danny
here.
Danny gets half the basement.
Who?
Intern David.
Who?
I don't know who either, but Intern David is here. Intern David has been busting his hiney working on some bookings, as well as producer Angie and everyone else who works here at the Adam Carolla Show. David?
Yes.
Who do you have, and how did you get him or her?
Okay, well, today we got Kobe coming on. Kobe Bryant's coming on later today.
At least you weren't a liar.
Kobe Bryant.
He's confirmed.
Yeah, he is confirmed. I talked to his PR and everything. We got that confirmed. Everything's ready to go. That's coming out at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow we got Tom Green.
Mm-hmm. And this is you.
Wow. Yeah.
This is all you know.
Right.
How does this work? How do you get Kobe Bryant? Because I don't hear him do much of anything.
He really does not do much of anything at all. But I don't know. I just really pushed at it.
What was your angle?
And what's your first phone call?
Well, the first phone call that I made was actually, I went on Lakers.com. They had a phone call over there, just simply asked for the PR person. And you know, they took me over there, and you know, from that point on, it went from the PR person to the agent to the publicist at Nike and everything. And then after that, everything got confirmed, and you know, it's ready to go.
So you didn't know the guy who cleaned Kobe's aquarium?
No, anything like that.
But did you have an angle like, I'm an intern, I don't make much money, this could really help me?
Of course, you always think that way.
And did you work that angle? Did you talk about charity, or did you go? I mean, there's two ways to do it. There's one where you go, you try to keep it professional, and then there's this throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Hey, man, do you remember when you were poor? Right.
No. I kept it really professional. Made sure that, you know, that, I mean, I never mentioned any of that. Never mentioned the concerts. No, I mean, none of that was ever, mm-hmm. you know, discussed. I don't know. I just thought he would be a really good guest. I mean.
Oh, he would. He definitely
yeah,
would be.
Are we
be.
Allowed yeah. to ask him about anything we want?
Mm-hmm. There are some limitations.
Stipulations?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some limitations.
So we stipulated to not ask him about the Colorado incident, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we're keeping that out.
All right, David. All right. But yeah. if we do, and then he freaks out and starts calling us cracker, it's going to be better for you.
Yeah. Yeah, if he just comes in here, and the only basketball player I really know how they speak is Shaq. Uh-huh. If he comes in here and talks like Shaq, and it's slow, and it's dull, and it's boring, and it doesn't mean anything, and doesn't offer up the blonde 19-year-old
well,
from Colorado.
That is, the point is there's two grades we give. Three-quarters of it, quite frankly, is the name of the guest, but then the other 25% is how they did, what they did, what they spoke about.
Well, judging off other appearances and other interviews that Kobe's done, he's actually a really funny guy. He has a lot to say. He's, you know,
he's interesting. He grew up in Germany,
I think Italy.
Yeah,
his dad was a player in Europe.
He played in Italy. He's actually fluent in Italian. He's got a lot to him. He's got a good background.
Having a great season. He set a bunch of records.
He set 28 franchise records for the Lakers.
Bonaducci rarely walks up to a 6'8 brother and yells, Paisan.
Yeah. But that
could be a first.
Oh, right.
All right, David. So who else? So you have, you're working on Kobe. And could easily win the week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It may even win the month. But obviously you have to keep going. You want
well,
to.
I kept going. I sent out several faxes. I sent out faxes to people at the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis.
Oh. Smart.
Regis Philbin.
Yeah. Interesting.
I love this kid.
Wow, that's good.
Well, let me ask you, Dave, intern David, and I know I was a newspaper intern. I made $6 an hour. What would this $10,000 mean to your lifestyle?
Pumping on a roof, by the way.
Well, that was on my off day.
You punched out before he punched in?
Exactly.
All right.
Basically, it would just mean catching up on a lot of debt. And you know,
student loans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really, you know, piled up.
Well, what do you... Let's talk about you for a minute. Let's make intern David the guest.
Take a journey into intern David. Okay, how old are you, by the way?
23 years old.
I think Bill actually took a journey into intern
David is really adorable.
Yes.
You're a cutie. I think that every time I see him in the hallway, that guy's cute.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I really
and the bottom.
That.
David, did what college did you go to?
I went to Kent State University in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to, I still go to the Art Institute over there in Santa Monica.
And when, what are you hoping to get out of this experience? And why did you decide to intern here?
Are you talking about here at the station?
Yeah, I know you're trying to get 10 grand out of my wallet.
Yeah.
But other than that, what are you trying, why here, why us, why now?
I'm not sure, you know, I mean, are you talking about this show or just going to the school I go to? Or
how do you do in college if questions are this tough?
This school,
especially
show.
When the subject's you.
Yes.
It's his first time on the air. Give him a break.
He's nervous.
Well, I've done a little bit of airtime before in past shows and stuff like that. So.
It's working out for him.
K-Bong, who's talking to Bong.
Were you on K-Bong?
I was never on K-Bong, no.
So. Hey, we
but
got a sandwich
garden
super shack coming up.
Oh, there's my hand?
What are you hoping to learn from
why
your time
here?
All
right, yes.
Listen, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm kissing A or anything, but I think Adam's a great guy. I've saw his career throughout
it's
the years.
It's ass kiss rodeo.
And
it was good. I followed the Adam's bring up, you know, how he followed Kimmel around. I looked up Kimmel's background and everything.
Thank you.
You know, it's great. It's really inspirational. It really is.
All right. Hey, look, I've said this many, many times.
Yeah.
People have this thing. I've been the boss for a while when we would go, you know, over at the Man Show or Crank Yankers or whatever it is. Jimmy and I just had our upstairs office and we would walk past people and we would go sit in our office and we had 80 people at work for us. And Jesus. Everyone has a thing where they go, hey, man, everyone hates a kiss ass. Everyone hates a kiss ass. No, we do not.
You know what?
And
no, we
when we're the boss, we don't know when we're getting our ass kissed, and neither do you. Because if you just walked into work and I said, hey, Cheryl, somebody's lost some weight. You're looking good, sister. You wouldn't think, oh, I hate this kiss ass. Look at that brown nose. You'd think, well, maybe I lost some weight.
Yeah.
That's about it.
No, I took offense to the Kiss Ass Rodeo music the first time it was played when I was saying something nice about somebody. I went, how do you compliment anybody in this room?
I know.
And the answer is you don't.
I used to walk through my the Man Show offices, and I would head up to my office, and one or two people would go, hey, boss man, looking good. And I would never think, oh, that Kiss Ass got to be fired. I think, give that guy a raise.
I call all my bosses boss to let them know I'm aware. I think that's
a good trick.
Smart.
It's
like
nice,
that.
Yes. If you came on to this radio show because you were a fan of mine, I will not hold that against you. I promise you that, David.
Ah, thank you.
An excellent intern, by the way, because as many people said, interns should be seen and not heard. He comes in, he does his job, he doesn't get in the way.
No, he does not.
That's and he's easy on the eyes.
Yes, he is. He is a very stealthy as a 6'3 man can be. But I'll tell you, someone whose radar he didn't make it under, one Andy Dix. Did not make it under Andy Dick's radar when Andy Dick was in here some weeks ago.
Trapped him.
He trapped you and did
trapped
what?
Trapped me in the corner, right? No, he trapped me in the corner, just tried basically, I don't know, he just started picking up on me, put his arm around me, asked for my number and everything.
Now, you're at the, you say you're at the Art Institute?
At the Art Institute.
So you're flexible, sexually.
Is that right?
No, I'm
a straight man. I'm a straight man. No, but the thing is,
I
mean,
you weren't a liar.
He did call me up later on in the week and did apologize for the whole thing. Because I don't know how we got word of it or anything, but he realized that he was really out of line that day. So, I mean, I accepted the apology, but still.
But there's two types of apologies. Right. There's, hey, man, I'm really sorry for what went down. That was inappropriate. And then there's, hey, why don't you meet me over at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and we can talk about this. I can apologize to your penis.
As a ex-drunk, that's the worst, because you've done... Somebody had to tell him, you need to apologize. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's a pretty nice guy. He might have just felt badly.
If you do something so out of line, you have to call a few days later because you're a drunk guy, you don't remember how bad it was.
Well, David, somebody did he say something to you, or did he actually touch you?
No, he tried putting his arm around me and everything like that, and I had to tell him that I had to go into the back office to do things. And
you don't know code.
He actually followed me to the back office.
I thought there was more.
Which got really uncomfortable.
Did you tell him later at college you were going to have an oral exam? Why don't you just give it up to the guy and be done?
You know, he's a very powerful man, Mr. Dick is. He could do a lot for your career. I'm saying they're worst guys you could give it
so
up
Dick
to.
So Dick went in the back office?
He did. He eventually did show up in the back office. Yeah, he did. But like I said, he did apologize later in the week, but he did offer to buy drinks. And that's no joke. That really did happen.
He apologized and offered to buy drinks.
Yeah, he said, hey, why don't you come out for a couple of drinks?
I told you. See, I knew when... Andy doesn't pick up the phone unless every phone is the bone phone to Andy Dick. There's no such thing as it's just a apology. There's apology with an ulterior motive, and that was to go to the back office. Well, David, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
We're all impressed.
I hope Kobe calls in at 9, because if not, I'll be sad.
We hope Kobe doesn't drop the ball. That's good stuff.
on
the interview at 9 o'clock. But again, good work.
Thank you.
I would say if Kobe does call up and has a good attitude, you may have jumped to the top of the leaderboard midweek for Outbook August in April and may have that $500. Okay, nice job. We need to take a break. Also, wait a minute. Producer Angie, did you have something?
Yeah, she's got somebody lined up. She's got an excellent.
She tasted like champagne.
I'll tell you what, let's tease that.
Yes.
Angie is just
come back.
Stumbled into the studio.
But Angie, give us a quick hint who it is. Can you give us a hint?
Oscar award-winning actor.
Wow.
Mm. How do you like that?
And not that Oscar award-winning producer or writer or someone we've never heard of. Actor.
Very recently. Won an Oscar.
Interesting.
How come you know everybody's secrets?
People tell them to me because I keep my mouth shut. You know that, Danny.
I do, because you know my secrets.
Yeah. That's why she doesn't have a boyfriend either.
Exactly.
She refuses to open her mouth.
Remember when I thought you might be gay?
Or your legs.
And my immediate response to is when I went to pay for their dinner on their date and I couldn't find them, and the only people that looked close were two girls, and I went, Teresa's gay and not telling us. Mm. Oh my God, this is going to be so embarrassing. And I thought the first thing I would do is tell her my darkest secret to make her know I'll never tell.
Isn't that sweet?
Ah.
It's one of the sweetest things you've ever said. I like that.
Really?
But I'm straight.
Yeah, it wasn't her. She showed up with a loser. Right. Dinner. Cost me $130. Yeah.
She's straight. She had a little action on a train once, but under 50 miles an hour, she's straight as it comes. As soon as they break that.
Before I reach a comfortable cruising altitude.
Plus, you know, there's that clicking of the tracks. Yeah. It's like a girl sitting on the dryer.
Doing it for me now, Bonaducci. All right, yes.
You know what's coming up in the news? Three words that we're all getting very sick of.
Nappy head hoes.
All right, so that and Angie's Oscar award-winning actor.
He may call in today, yeah?
Yeah, he's
possible booking on for today. Yeah. I can't wait to hear who this is next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew. On the Adam Carolla Show, Dateline, Pueblo, Colorado, a 23-year-old woman was arrested for swapping her five-month-old boy for a down payment on a used Dodge Intrepid. Definitely not a Jew.
You get the 3-liter V6 or the 4-banger, because that, to me, as a car guy, that's all the difference in the world.
In the world.
He said, she used her son as a down payment on a Dodge. She get the hypo 3-liter? Yeah.
You're making Natalia cry.
All right, that's Sonny.
I used to, on my daughter's first or second birthday, she was strapped into a baby seat in my Viper. It was
nice.
Dude, chick magnet like you couldn't believe. My friends are making fun of me. I just got in the Viper, and Gretchen goes, I'm pregnant. And they all went, ha, 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 can't wait to see the baby seat in the Viper. And I was kind of bummed about it, too. And then I put a cute little baby in a really fast, expensive car. All I needed was a puppy, and chicks were actually, you know, the expression coming out of the woodwork. They were actually coming out of the woodwork like magic. All of a sudden, it was chicks.
You got it. Yeah, it's time. Now that you're single and out on the market, time to get the rap down again. Like someone says, like, hey, maybe we'll go out this Saturday, Danny. And you go, can't. Saturday's the day I work with retarded dolphins.
Unfortunately, everybody knows it's me. They're going to say, hey, what are you going
to
do?
Hey, buddy! Red Bull's back on the market. It's time to buy a little stock in Red Bull, ladies. How about your belly, or better yet, booby up to Danny's bar? It ain't too high.
As you are well aware, I've never been to a nudie bar.
Ooh.
My whole life. Never.
Hey, we're popping his cherry, everybody.
Remember in Vegas, I wouldn't go to Scores and all that stuff. It's not a moral issue.
Hey, I got a trivia question here. How many people you know have been on a lunch pail, never been to a nudie bar?
Subset of human beings.
I've made this clear from the get-go. I have a real testosterone issue, even on my own, when I'm not shooting straight show bull test into my shoulders.
Strip club.
I'm pretty sure Alf's been to a strip club.
All right.
The thing is, to me, to go to a strip club and have some hot naked chick get real close to you is like going to Morton Steakhouse and ordering prime rib and
you're
just
too passionate, much like Dr. Drew.
Passionate. Dude. I'm not falling in love with the chicks that have a $20 bill up their butt. I just want to have sex with them immediately.
Well, that's a euphemism for horny passion.
Yeah.
Some guys.
Passion's what you do with people you like. Or even whose names you know.
There are guys.
Which is not a necessity with me, by the way.
These are the guys who go to the Ultimate Fighting Championships and then get into a fight. They can't watch other people fight without fighting. They can't watch somebody eat without literally salivating. And they can't watch somebody gyrate naked without wanting to grab a booty or three.
In 1975, you come out of a kung fu movie and there'd three fights to break out.
That's how they would film the sequel. They put cameras in the parking lot of a kung fu movie. That's part two.
Well, Adam, there's a fight breaking out right here in our office over who's going to book the biggest celebrity.
That's right. Angie turn the lampshade around to the breathing hole so we can hear you, baby doll.
She tastes like champagne.
Producer Angie sobered up long enough to book.
It was just a couple minutes.
An Oscar award-winning guest?
I did, yes. Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. He's supposed to call in this morning between 7 and 9, so we'll see if it happens.
All right. Well,
wow.
I remember having Jamie Foxx on Loveline many years ago before he was Jamie Foxx. I think he was just doing the Jamie Foxx show, ironically, but not Jamie Foxx yet. And now he's Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. And Jamie Foxx, there are a lot of people out there who Well, let's put it this way. They're nice looking and they're good actors, but they're not bona fide talents like Jamie Foxx. I mean, Jamie Foxx, to play Ray Charles, to play the piano, to sing, to do all the mannerisms. I mean, to me, you know, there's acting where you watch an actor and you go, I could do that. I think I could handle that role. And then you see Val Kilmer playing
Doc Holliday.
Jim Morrison
or Doc Holliday, and you go, oh no.
If you could do two of them and not know which one was better.
Right.
That's a great idea.
I was thinking Jim Morrison, Doc Holliday's good too, but like he became Jim Morrison, yeah. And then you see Jamie Foxx becoming Ray Charles, and you look and singing, and you go, oh no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Not
could
to
I
mention
ever,
Dreamgirls.
No, ever
I,
do that.
We
yes.
could, everybody in this room could make a living acting. I mean, if people would hire us, because, and this is a guy, is a dear friend of mine. I use this as an expression. I hope it doesn't hurt his feelings. I've said it 100 times. But Eric Estrada is a multimillionaire actor.
He is.
I'll bet I could do it.
Yes, you could do that. But okay. If Eric Estrada had to play Ray Charles, and I would love to see him do that.
I could do that. I've been trained. I could pull that off.
So he gave you a window between 7 and 9.
Yes.
And Kobe Bryant should be calling in at 9. So this should be a good day.
Let me explain. That's a sliding door. That's not a window. Windows between 7 and 8. Between 7 and 9, we're now full slider.
Yes, okay. Gotcha.
All right, we're getting into a collapsible wall in a second.
Yeah, that's any coming longer. Friday, maybe.
It could happen.
But either way, if Jamie Foxx comes on the phone,
you'll be
huge,
doing well.
In Angie time, that's 3.5 beers from now.
It will be huge.
I want to see this Angie so bad.
The funny thing is, she got drunk once, and now we can't stop mocking her.
Dude. You call her low-hanging fruit, fellas. Get on there before she sobers up. Speaking of fruit, Brian, get away. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, most people find things, like, really uncomfortable, like, inappropriate. You're really drunk and you're at Scores and you end up having sex with someone in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's all flipped out.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
No?
Nothing makes me laugh harder than discomfort.
Well,
and that, you know, it's just like every time Angie would say, let's just say it was me. We'd walk by and it's like, oh, probably the last guy she'd pick in this room. So she'd go, every time she walked by, I would continually make everybody uncomfortable with it just to have fun. That kind of stuff cracks me up.
Well, good, because when we're 4 months into your divorce and you're begging us to quit, I will bring these words back to you and say, Danny, you love discomfort, and this is it.
All right. I'll call my new wife.
That's true. Let's see. Why don't we do this? Let's push the news off one more break.
Sounds good.
I had promised some single advice.
Yes,
to
I wanted
young
to
young Bonaducci.
Yeah. And I also wanted to tell you about my first night as a single man.
Wow. Wow, wow. All right. So I'll tell you what we should do then. We should do that as a separate break. We'll talk about the divorce. For those who just tuned in and didn't hear yesterday,
looks like
Danny is going to be getting himself a divorce. We will sift through that wreckage. One more tease before the break, and then we'll get into the news, I promise.
These three little words. No? You don't have them ready? We're going to talk about nappy-headed hoe. Mm-hmm. Should Don Imus have said it? Should Al Sharpton be talking about it? And the girls from Rutgers spoke out, and that actually really made an impact on my view of the whole
nappy-head hoes.
Thank you.
It did. Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that and many other things next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Are either of the Coreys available? Feldman? What about Haim?
Do you happen to have a number for Corey Hart by any chance? Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack Vance is trying to win Outbook August and get himself $10,000. We got one hell of a star-studded show for you today. Oscar winner Jamie Foxx. From Star Trek, George Takei. And Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant. Whoa, that's one diverse show, peeps. Hey, Jack Vance down with diversity. I knew this black guy once. The end.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
All righty, T.
Yes.
What's going on in the news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Don Imus took his mea culpa tour to NBC's The Today Show yesterday, where he had a conversation with Matt Lauer about the fact that he is not a racist.
I wasn't angry. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't stating some sort of philosophy. As I said yesterday morning, I'm not a racist. And I've demonstrated that in my deeds and my work. And if we can only cite three or four instances in a comedy program in which it's designed to push the envelope over 30 years.
Mm. Yeah, you know, many thoughts on this. First off, he's going to be off the air for 2 weeks. So
right.
Those of you who miss Imus may want to do what I did at home, because I do watch the show, and I will miss the man. And 2 weeks is a long time to be away from Imus. Take a pile of jackets.
Okay.
Stack them up and put a cowboy hat on top of it.
And
some sunglasses. There'll be no difference. Not better. That'll be the same. The same program.
Yeah.
And you
break
just
even.
Stare at it for 4 hours a day.
Also put a disembodied voice in another room to yell out things to prompt the pile of clothes to moan.
Well, let me say this about Don Imus. A few things. One, we should say in the interest of full disclosure that we all work for the same company, which is called CBS Radio.
Hold on. This just in. Jesse Jackson is picketing my pile of jackets.
Oh, no.
That's right. He wants Procter & Gamble to pull out.
Oh, interesting. Interesting you should say that. Guess who is no longer advertising on Don Imus's show?
Procter & Gamble.
Yes! And guess who else is pulled out? Head on!
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
No.
Oh.
Head on headache medication.
Oh, come on, that was funny.
That was pretty funny.
It was at least quick.
It was quick. Head on headache medication has pulled out their ad dollars.
God, that's the best news I've heard all morning.
I thought you'd like that.
I don't
that.
Have to see that husky lesbian with the crazy hair explaining how annoying the commercials are,
they
ironically.
They replaced her with the pretty one, right?
Well, I've
not seen her. Seen her once.
It's that head on, gets directly on the front. Head on, gets directly on the front. I hate your commercials, but I hate Imus more. That's their new slogan.
Staples, the office supply chain, is also pulled out. So this is beginning to cost the company some money. And Imus is doing a little damage control.
Well, first off, let me say this about the good product and the good people over at Head On. I'm sure any product that gets rid of headaches that you rub on like solid deodorant on your forehead works like a charm. I'm sure there's nothing you can get from the doctor's office that would work anything better than you taking a paste stick and rubbing against your forehead. Because anyone who knows science knows that if you rub a stick on the area that hurts,
right,
it'll make it all go away.
I use snake oil. And it works very
what
well.
They're trying to do is imply that there's some sort of numbing agent. Now,
I don't know what they're implying. I really don't.
I believe that's what it is. You put on the medicine, and it seeps in through your forehead, which Jimi Hendrix used to do with LSD, by the way.
Mm.
He used to dip his headband in it, and if the show would go on, it would suck into his skin.
Mm.
But that's what they're implying. But trust me, if you rubbed lidocaine all over your forehead because you had a headache, you'd have a numb face that you could pick with a brin and a total headache still. Mm. It can't possibly function as I can see
I
don't see the science.
I don't get headaches except for when I see Broomhilda on that head-on commercial screaming at me.
Well, say what you will about Imus. According to TMZ.com, his program has been generating over $50 million a year in ad revenue for CBS Radio and MSNBC. That is a lot of money.
When I was your age, television was called books.
He's an older gentleman, yes, but he makes a lot of money for the company.
Yes. Let me explain how radio works, everybody. You sit here and you talk and you talk and you talk and you don't remember most of the things you said at the end of 4 hours of talking. And every once in a while, randomly, very randomly, because I've said horrible things that have slid right under the radar, and I've said things that were not nearly as bad that have made it onto watchdog groups' ledgers.
Right.
Once in a while, somebody notices. like when we had our little run-in with Guy Aoki in the Asian group. Somehow they hear things, and sometimes they don't. It's very random, but once in a while, people hear things. And then they hear things, and then somebody tells you what you said 4 hours ago that you barely remember, and you have to kind of go over it in your head, and then you have to go, oh, yeah, I did say that. And then somebody tells you somebody's PO'd, and you say, yeah, fine, he'll get over it. And then they say, no, you have to say you're sorry. And you say, why? I was making a joke. And they say, no, because the advertisers are going to pull out because these people threaten the advertisers. And threaten is not a strong enough word. It's sort of blackmail.
Right.
The advertisers, so they have to pull out. Now, here's who doesn't care. The person that says it doesn't care. The advertisers don't care. The station management doesn't care. Nobody cares. The only people that care are the people who pretend they have to care because they're scared that these people are going to blackmail and pull away money
right.
from the show. So then what happens is the host has to come in and apologize. He's pretending like he cares. The advertisers have to pretend they're thinking about pulling their advertisement or pull their advertisement. Either way, they don't right. care. It's not like Procter & Gamble's run by a bunch of black basketball players who worry so much about the collegiate.
Actually, it is.
College basketball.
It's run by the Globetrotters. When they don't play in the season with the Washington
Generals,
that's
what they're doing.
Run Procter & Gamble. Yeah,
yes, they don't care. Nobody cares.
Well,
we just pretend like we care.
Right. It's totally true.
And then we pay lip service to people by apologizing, and the advertisers do it through pulling their whatever, but nobody actually cares.
No.
So watchdog groups, if you're interested in having people pretend like they care, you're in the right business.
Right. And the funny thing is, if you think about it, the fact that you're in a watchdog group means your whole job is waiting to be offended.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. Well, if you're just a regular guy and somebody says, you know, all redheads suck and they're stupid and whatever it is, you know, I've heard that no redheaded man can maintain an erection. Okay, somebody puts that out there. I'm going to hear about it. I'm not going to hear about it. I'm not going to care about it. But if there's a watchdog group about people, you're sitting there waiting on people to hurt your feelings. It's not even legitimate. They're not real feelings. They're being generated on purpose so they can continue to have some function.
Well, arguably, the players from Rutgers did have hurt feelings. They held a press conference.
Hold on.
Yes.
I've now finally come up with my new who's on first for the 21st century.
Okay.
Really? Because I've heard you come close before.
I get three guys together.
Right.
One guy is in a watchdog group. It's a group of people that actually handles watchdogs.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Like mine.
The other, right.
Right. Like German Shepherds.
He handles professionally trains watchdog groups.
Right.
Is a group
watchdogs.
Of guys. He's watchdogs. Right. The other guy is a guy that works for a large chain store.
Yes.
They sell large
chains
for military.
Heard about
purposes.
That. Large, people love that.
And the third guy works in a big box store.
Ah.
I know it's close. And we put him on. He actually sells large boxes.
Large boxes.
There's
sure.
nothing in them.
Right.
And then we
right.
say, what do you do? We're at a party. I work with a watchdog group.
What do you watch?
Watchdog group.
But what kind of things do you watch out for?
Why don't you just talk to my friend Herb? A watchdog group. I don't know how else to say it. Talk to my friend Herb. Oh, you want to know what I do? Thank you. I'll do both sides of it.
I was going to say.
I work for a big box store.
Oh, which one?
The one that sells big boxes. It's a big box store.
So what's the name of the big box?
I'll talk to Ken. This is too confusing.
Hi, I'm Ken.
Large chain store.
Yeah. You would know you work in a large
store.
Box store. Yeah. I work for a large chain store.
Which one?
It's a large chain store.
Right, but is it like Lowe's or Home Depot or one of those?
Yeah. It's a large
which
chain
one?
Store.
Which one is it?
It's the large chain store.
See?
Bob, will you tell her?
It started. She wouldn't believe it when I told her I work for a big box store.
I hate this party.
Dude, there should be. Our watchdog group should come in right now and get her.
Well, can I go back to the Rutgers?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. We'll beat that out after the show.
The Rutgers University women's basketball team held a press conference.
Mm.
Now, here is one of their players. Her name is Essence.
Mm-hmm.
And Essence Carson,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about how her entire team is hurt and angered by the remarks of Don Imus, particularly, of course, him referring to the Rutgers female basketball team as nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah. I would like to express our team's great hurt, anger, and disgust towards the words of Mr. Don Imus. We are highly angered at his remarks, but deeply saddened with the racial characterization they entailed.
True that, peeps.
Let me tell you the reaction when they first heard the news 3 days ago. Who's Dave Anus?
I'm sure after they Googled him, they were well aware who Dave Amos is.
It wasn't Amos.
Anus. Now, yeah. Snoop Dogg has spoken out.
Yeah,
about
finally.
The situation.
About time.
And here's his take, and I'm quoting here. People say that rappers use the term ho in their lyrics, and that why shouldn't Don Imus be able to use the word ho? And Snoop Dogg says, quote, it's a completely different scenario. Rappers are not talking about no collegiate basketball girls who have made it to the next level in education and sports. We're talking about hoes that's in the hood that ain't doing S-word, that's trying to get an N-word for his money. These are two separate things. First of all, we ain't no old-ass white men that sit up at MSNBC going hard on black girls. We are rappers that have these songs coming from our minds and our souls that are relevant to what we feel. I will not let them MFers say we are in the same league as him. Kick him off the air.
Well, first off, Snoop, my brother, he's a dear friend. You know, you are not one who would benefit if we start really clamping down on free speech and free expression.
Absolutely.
So all those who express themselves, whether it's on the radio or through the majesty of song, should not condone what Imus does, but realize it's not our job to kick him off the air. That's between his sponsors and him. The way this is supposed to work is sponsors are supposed to hear this guy saying enough things that they disagree with to say we do not want our product associated with this guy
fair.
And let the free market take care of itself. Yeah, it's true. The brothers can use the N-word, and we can. I'll give them that.
I won't give them that.
I hate that. But the argument that
there's a racial group that gets a word out of my English language that I don't get?
Well,
no.
You can say things about your own family.
I understand that, but I also understand Imus's argument or his defender's arguments that he would not know the word had it not been for the brothers running
that's
it into the ground through the Majesty song again.
I will tell you that Snoop Dogg actually is doing his job and his music and this and that. But Chris Rock, I have seen on stage do 10 minutes about how he seriously hates white people.
Mm-hmm.
But could you imagine the last guy that even said anything, although it wasn't funny and Chris Rock was funny, but I believe he was serious. Remember Kramer?
No. Yeah.
The guy's dust.
Don't remember that incident.
The guy's dust.
You hardly heard anything about that. Chris Rock,
his whole act is about how bad white people suck and how much, and there's a reason that black people should hate us. It's like, dude, a white guy would just get killed for saying that. You can't say that when you'd be boycotted and bigoted. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem racial equality.
I agree, but a small inconvenience for ruling the world. That's the way I look at it.
Sounds fair.
Well said.
Thank you.
Now, Snoop Dogg, by the way.
I'm willing to put up with that stuff for running the plant.
You'll pick your battles?
That's right.
See, if I don't rule the world completely down to every syllable, then I don't rule it.
Snoop Dogg, by the way, two felony charges filed against him yesterday in L.A. District Court, one for transporting marijuana and one for possession of a firearm by a felon, this having to do with when he got popped over at the Burbank Airport.
I would argue that carrying a gun through an airport is a cultural thing. For the brothers,
really?
For rappers. Yes, you know how we give Indians peyote?
Right.
Yeah. Bonaducci takes peyote, he gets arrested. If you're indigenous American Indian, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah,
I would
ritual.
Say transporting firearms through airports for rappers, it's an indigenous thing. We should give him a pass.
Well, let's see if his lawyer takes that stance. When
all right,
he's, when
I
he's
would
in
work
court.
That for him.
I'd go there.
Yeah, it's a birthright for your rapper.
Larry Birkhead was officially confirmed as Anna Nicole's baby's father yesterday.
Okay.
He won the paternity case. He is the father of little baby Danny Lynn.
Wow, who knew?
Now, of course, Anna Nicole, the baby's mother, is dead. The baby's brother, Daniel, is also dead. And here, Larry Birkhead at a press conference took an appropriately somber tone.
I hate to be the one that told you this, but I told you so.
I have here's how my a sad, it's sad. I'm not comfortable admitting this, but here's how my brain works when I watch a story. Danny, tell me if this is how your horrible brain works as well. First bit is a, Anna Nicole's dead and her son's dead. Sad. Hey, Burkhead. Yeah, he's the dad. Of course, of course. He always wanted to give up the DNA sample. Burkhead. Weird name, but not a bad looking guy. I mean, he's kind of cute, actually. He's a man that sort of looks like an attractive woman. As a matter of fact, he's kind of the male Anna Nicole in a way. I mean, he's like kind of a cute blonde chick. Where'd they have a? Oh, it was a daughter. That's right. Wait a minute. She's probably going to be a nice piece of ass. I mean, the Burkhead gene. Burkhead with a little kissing potion and some tight jeans could pass for a pretty hot chick in a dark nightclub as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while you see the dude and the dude's hairy and the dude's fat and you think, Christ, what's this kid going to turn out? Like, you know, when Christie Brinkley got together with Billy Joel, all bets were off. Yeah. But if we could have got Brinkley and Burkhead together.
Yeah, I had yourself one hell of a kid.
We got ourselves another hot blonde supermodel on the way. So with Anna Nicole, I mean, 10-cent mine, but million-dollar body there. Anna Nicole's sizable jeans mixing with Burkhead's. I could have a trophy wife in about
18 years?
Yeah.
I was going to say 17.
And the show has reached a new low.
Wow. About 6 months. Point is I thought, this chick is probably going to be a hot.
And an heiress.
And an heiress. So in 20 years, we can look forward to another, hey, move over, Paris Hilton.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got a nice hot blonde who's probably will have taken over that money by now. And I just thought, I like to keep dibs on this chick.
But what about the fact that she's likely to be horribly broken inside?
I'll fix her.
From the inside.
That's right.
Now, here's a study. Out of the University of Chicago.
17 and three quarters years.
Yes. Danny, you're going to be interested in this. I guarantee you. Both of you will. It's a study out of the University of Chicago and MIT, two venerable educational institutions. They looked at tens of thousands of online daters, and here's what they found. Short guys.
They're all dudes.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> Even the ones named Melissa. Short guys can land the same women as tall guys. They just have to make insane amounts of money. Here's how it breaks down. A man who's 6 feet tall can get a woman just by making the average male salary of $62,500 of these online guys. Now, a guy who's 5'10" would need to make $32,000 more than
a 6-foot
guy. Hold on a
second. The average male salary, $62,500?
Of these online guys that they're studying.
Uh-huh.
So a guy who's 5'10 would have to make $32,000 more than a guy who's 6 feet. Now, for a guy who's 5'6",
that's me,
to get that same girl, he'd need to make $183,000 more than the 6 foot guy.
Well, how does that work online?
They do the math. You know, there's a complicated algorithm between how much you earn and your height and who you get. And they've studied this all. And
this is them volunteering all this information via the computer, obviously.
Absolutely.
Because the reality is the whole reason you use a computer if you don't have the goods to go out and pick it up at the bar is you let your fingers do the walk in and they walk over to the keys and type in 6'2".
What I like to do is I like to strap about 7 inches of money to the bottom of my shoes so I can get it done at the same time.
$20
so
bills.
I'm actually over 6 feet tall and you tell, hey, that guy's got a lot of money.
Well,
look at his feet.
Yes, according to the study, it is an equalizer. If you're 5'4", you got to make an extra $229,000 to be the equivalent of the 6 foot guy, at least in terms of online dating. Mm. And with women, it works the opposite way. Shorter is better for women online. A 5'6" woman needs to make $59,000 more than a 5 foot or 5'2" woman to get the same men online.
I would say at a certain point with guys, and I'm trying to figure out what the height is, but somewhere around 5'2½". I'd rather go down. I think I'd rather be 4'1" and just work a whole Vern Troyer novelty angle.
Oh.
Right, then be in the middle.
I'm just on top of Susan Anton, and it's a crazy novelty thing. There are women and hot women who are 6 foot who will bed down with a guy who's 4'1" pure novelty all the way.
Is it just because he's famous, or is it the novelty hype?
I don't know, but I can tell you that
alcohol involved.
5'3 doesn't get you much as a guy.
Right. No.
You're in a weird no man's land between midget and stretch, and you'll find no comfort in that no man's land. I would rather go down than go up at a certain point, and for me, it's somewhere in the very low fives. Obviously, if I'm 5'6, I don't want to be 4'6, but if I'm 5'1, 5'2, I'll go 3'9, and I guarantee I'll get laid more than the guy who's 5'1.
Well, how do you feel about that? Because I have a friend who's super short. She's about 5'2. Danny, you've met her. And all the guys, because she's fun. You can pick her up. She's little and cute. You know what I mean?
Can I tell
sometimes
you the
they
truth?
Do better.
In all honesty.
Little chicks are fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but they are. But on this particular girl, no offense. All I said was, oh, she's cute. I was being polite. You're cuter than she is.
Thank you. But I'm saying my little short girls sometimes get a lot of attention from men.
Yeah.
It's all
makes
about...
makes you feel big and strong.
It's right. All about symmetry, men or women. If you're Michael J. Fox and you're 5'4", but you have symmetry, you're in proportion, you'll get plenty of chicks. And same with little women.
But then if you start to shake a lot, you have to make even more money.
Right.
It's nice to end on a Parkinson's joke, but I refuse to. Now, this briefly, we're going to be talking about American Idol later in the show. But first, a quick little tease. Now, Jennifer Lopez was the guest last night. Not allowed to call her J-Lo anymore. It was Latin night with the final eight.
Yeah.
And Sanjaya finally got a little bit of praise.
It wasn't horrible.
But was it? I'm going to play it for you later. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser. And that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. F*** you, CNN.
It wasn't horrible.
We need to...
Was I pitchy?
Take ourselves a...
It wasn't horrible.
Okay.
Take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we will plumb the depths of Bonaducci, newly divorced, or...
Big
paperwork's not done yet, but he went out last night.
Tina, I'm sorry. Therese, I just showed her from the lawyer the splitting of the assets. Came on my computer right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
so makes it feel real.
We will get into that. I will give him my advice from all those years of being on Loveline, sitting next to Dr. Drew. I picked up a thing or two, but I want to know, there was a bomb dropped last night as well in the Bonaducci household, or at least something was said to you that you want to talk about when we come back.
The four words
yes,
a woman said
but no,
to you.
They were not said in my house or by my wife.
But something was said, and it was paramount.
I didn't know how to continue. I didn't know if I should get up and go. It was horrifying.
Right.
It ruined everything.
So the four words you never want to hear from Bonaducci and... my insights as well. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Headed man, he's doing mornings with the Ace Man. Been arrested many times and paid a lot of fines. How long till he makes Teresa cry? Oh, Danny, he beat up Greg Brady and a tranny, and he's done lots of drugs. Oh. He's doing steroids and karate. We should all be afraid. Oh, Danny.
I gotta get that Rich Banks into my iPod. Just listen to that and laugh all
I believe you
day
can
long.
Download it at AdamCarolla.com.
Yes, you can. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com, which will link you to my MySpace, and you can hear the Too Hot for Even the Internet. At least as interpreted by the very conservative Jack Silver. That's right.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
When he's not doing a shot of Cuervo or trying to mount an underage girl, he's in here explaining what's appropriate. On radio.
Oh,
that's
sweet irony.
Gotta love the range of Jack Silver, everybody.
Well, in that song, there was a lyric about Danny making me cry. And I must say that I've received dozens of emails beseeching me not to date Danny Bonaducci now that he's single. And Danny is like an older brother. That's not the kind of relationship we have.
No, we're actually talking about girls and stuff like that. And I said, I immediately know a girl then I've got my shot at. Then if I say just the right words, I can have her, and I know immediately a girl who has no interest in me as a guy at all. Mm. Second I walk to the door, I go, okay, not that one. I didn't even know her name. Just went, that one doesn't like me.
I'm interested in you as a human being.
Right. No, there's just I can always tell. Because sleeping around is probably my favorite thing.
And that this woman you met who
does
said...
Does it make that noise when you sleep around?
It does.
You met a woman, speaking of people making you cry, and who said four words.
No, okay, here's the story. I'll do this as briefly as possible. First thing I do is I turn to MySpace.
Danny's pending divorce here.
I announced
papers have been filed.
Yes. Oh, yeah,
this
no. Teresa just saw the split up of assets come over. I'm getting this all during the show, which is always fascinating. Mm-hmm. So first thing I do is I turn to MySpace, because there are hundreds of girls on there that know my wife reads this, so kind of put in code, they'd like to get to know me better, and how's Gretchen? Mm-hmm. And women always, if they flirt with me, they start with how much they respect my wife. Mm-hmm. How strong she is and what a great woman she is. That's how women start to flirt with her, which is really funny. And Gretchen knows it, too. So now my MySpace is my MySpace.
He's changed the password.
So I Gretchen wanted separate ones. We didn't want to get confused anymore. But I guess people didn't know that. So I go to my MySpace. I don't want to be in your prayers.
Right.
Stop praying for me. I want to be in your pants. Okay?
No more prayers.
This is my MySpace now. Uh-huh. God, it was like suicide notes. I turned to it for, let's meet right now at the coffee bean and do it.
Right.
And my whole family's praying for you because I know I love my wife.
And ladies, and I think men are guilty of this as well, you deal with people the way you'd want to be dealt with. And when a woman breaks up with a guy, they want a lot of kind words and they want to be built up with love. We need some sex in order to get our last failure, the stink of failure off of us. So don't talk about being in prayers and don't talk about your thoughts.
This is good to know.
Show up and sex him down.
Here's the answer, ladies and gentlemen. The best way to get over a girl is to get on top of another one. Right. So that's just the facts. So I go to MySpace and there's this dismal failure of hundreds of people praying for me. So I'm just kind of wandering around.
The temerity.
The temerity.
I'll see you in hell, you prayers for my soul.
No, I mean, I appreciate it, but where were the chicks? So, I hate being the one that's the wuss on this. I don't want the divorce. I still like the girl. I want to go home, but I'm not going home. And she's giving me the green light on going out. I just can't bring women home. So I go out.
Mm-hmm.
And
Last night.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just driving around. I don't know where to go. I don't really go anywhere. I don't do stuff. And there's a traffic jam, and I pull in to Hollywood and Highland. And there's a restaurant there that I like, and I'm going to go there. And there's a store I shop in all the time. It's like the gayest clothes store ever.
Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm. No, it's next door to Hot Topic. Hot Topic is for a shirt or two. For the super gay clothes, I go to this one store next door, which I remember the name, because he gave me a free shirt.
It's essentially Ozzy's Closet.
Right.
Right?
So I'm looking.
There's nothing that doesn't have a crucifix on it.
And I'm taking pictures with families from Iowa and stuff, so they don't know about the divorce. They won't listen to the show. So I'm not having to suffer through that, because everywhere else I go, people are praying for me now face to face, and I want them to stop it.
Right.
So I get, and I'm feeling kind of important. People are saying nice stuff to me and taking lots of pictures, signing lots of autographs. I'm feeling okay about myself, and they don't know. And now I'm just staring, looking in the window at this extraordinarily gay shirt. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it, and this voice behind me that you can just tell is emanating from somebody adorable says, "You look really cute in that." Mm-hmm. I can tell it's a young girl. I can almost tell what she looks like. And I look to see her reflection. I look to see her reflection. But they have a specialized glass, so she looks like she has Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I think, oh, this sucks. Because I had my heart set, but I didn't know it was a warped mirror.
Right. I want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I think that girl just said that would look really cute. I turn around, and aside from being drastically too young, she's really cute. Then she starts to talk about the show. And the show before, not that too young.
Hold on, she didn't mention Ace Van, did she?
That's what kind of got it going, really. She said, I'm a big fan of the show, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she talks about listening to you long before I got here. Mm-hmm. And I always think that people that listen to the show are smarter than people that listen to other shows. My last show, if you came up to me and said, I'm the biggest fan of your show, I knew I didn't like you. I knew you were stupid.
Talking about low self-esteem.
No, it was the kind of show we did. We did fart jokes all day. That's what me and that person did. Right. And if you came up and said, you guys killed me in the morning, you're so funny, I knew I hated you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that you paid my rent, but you weren't my kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I turn around. She starts talking about how smart you are and that, you give good information that I've added to the show, but she's really articulate.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out she's 25, has already graduated from UCLA with A, and here's the problem. I graduated with A, and that's when I noticed the double D's. And her voice just turned into some humming sound. So I don't really know what she graduated with. She could have said herpes. I graduated with a really nasty case of herpes. I'm not really sure. But I think she was saying a degree. And she's 25. And she's a fan of Corolla. She likes the show with me on it. She likes you. She's talking about smart stuff and thinks I look cute in this shirt. And I say, well, let's go shopping. So we go into the store.
Hold on. Play the porno music, because did you take out the credit cards and buy her anything she wanted?
I didn't buy her a thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It's not as good.
You can't buy love.
She wouldn't accept it. I said anything you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Independently wealthy or better. Has too much pride.
Dignity.
Dignity.
It's a couple of the, she said some
triple D's.
She said
double D's plus dignity.
Wow. She said fascinating. So I kind of like loved this girl for a moment.
Right.
You loved her. She's mine, by the dude. She stay away from her.
Dude, you're taller too, so you could probably have more money to strap to your feet, so I don't know. Anyway, so we're talking about all this stuff, and now we're in this store, and I come out in this incredibly gay shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that looks really good on you. You should buy that. So, being the blower that I am, I take it off and toss it to the sales girl and say, I'll take this one. Mm-hmm. And I grab another shirt, go back to the dressing room, and I can hear the sales girl talking about my body. And that she's impressed by it. And I'm going, this could be better. Oh, my God.
Day one on the market.
Day one.
It's going well.
I'm on fire with a 25-year-old who's already graduated UCLA.
3 D's.
And a lot of guys, when they break up, especially into their 40s, have to hit the gym. They have to go take care of themselves.
Right.
They gotta, but what essentially what it is they're like some old car that needs to head on over to Earl Shine.
Earl Shine.
And fresh. They need to be freshened up because they've been off the market for 20 years. But Danny has been working out like this divorce was coming any day for the last 10 years.
Because it has.
You're ready. Oh. Yeah.
So this goes fabulous. We're outside, and we're kind of not intimate, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. she says to me, we're very close to each other's faces.
Hold on a second.
Talking.
You want to smoke? Did she say that? If she if she joined you in your smoking helmet,
that would be
a smoking helmet built for two. This would be it.
If there has to be trouble in paradise or a fly in my ointment, curl. She doesn't smoke. But anyway, so we're outside and we're kind of looking at each other and talking, kind of flirting. I love to flirt. When I was married, I would flirt because I like to flirt.
Right.
Nothing would ever come.
Is there a celebrity she resembles?
Yeah, give us a picture.
25.
Double D's.
UCLA grad.
Some dignity.
Dignity.
Boy, it's hard to say. She's very pretty because she's got these stunning eyes.
And not everyone looks like somebody, but just so we can get a vague picture in our mind.
Blonde, brunette.
About my height.
Mm-hmm.
Redhead.
Like Gretchen.
No.
Come on, babe. Oh,
hers didn't come out of a bottle, and her double D's didn't come from the store.
Just dump a bucket of ice down Danny's women's size 4 jeans.
So
Russ's
horrible.
So she says to me, as we're flirting, she looks at me, and this is an ultimate compliment and overrated. I'm not saying this. I'm repeating this, because if I said this, it's super blowhard,
right.
But she said it. She goes, I want you to know I'm aware that there are a million girls that would trade places with me right now. And I looked at her and I said,
really?
And she goes, that's not good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't just get to be famous and think you get to know me. Like, just put me in my place right away.
Like, which you like.
Which I totally like. She just took charge and said, don't think you're getting in my pants, Mr. Famous Dude.
Right.
Just, you know, if you want the other million girls, go get them. If you want the one in a million girl, you're talking to her, so don't blow it, is what I heard. And mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
More dignity.
So now I'm standing outside a restaurant. I said, you want something to eat? And she said, yeah. So now I'm having dinner with the smart UCLA graduate, 25-year-old chick. And life is bitching. And she's smart all the way through dinner. And I think, life's going to be fine. I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
I'm going to live through this. You know, this girl likes me and is not a huge weirdo fan, but likes the show.
Right.
Real smart. Can accomplish anything on her own. I don't want to give too much of her away. Has a very nice job.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like 100%. And I really like her because I like fast. By the time dinner was over, I'd already married Gretchen.
Right.
I mean, I do these things in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I'm going to get through this. This is, I'm going to be all right. And she excuses herself to go to the restroom. and I pay the check so we can leave an Ari and who knows what might happen next.
And while she's at the urinal.
It's not quite that. It's worse than that, actually.
Worse.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
How could it be
I'm
worse?
I'm very nervous.
It can't be worse. Hold on a second.
We need to go to break.
Hold on. We need to take a break because I got a tease worse than her standing at the urinal.
I'm very upset about this. I don't know what's going to happen.
My heart
was broken. This can never, ever, it cannot be cured. It's like my marriage when Gretchen just says this casually. She said, well, I'm sorry, all this is happening, this is happening. I look and I go, well, just take me back. And now she's gone to the point of cavalier. It's like, well, that's not going to happen. So let's do, I mean, she's just like, it just breaks your heart. The next few words stopped everything forever.
UCLA grad, double D's.
Dignity.
Strawberry
literally
blonde.
Said, if you think that your status is going to get you anywhere with me, there's a million girls that will. It won't with me. And she wasn't kidding. She'd have left right then. If I'd have said the wrong thing, she'd have gone.
Well,
I loved her for it.
The heartbreak will be revealed. Now, in the form of four words, did you say?
Yep.
Four words. All right. Danny will utter the four words, and then we'll do a little American
Idol.
I'm
going to cry.
Recap.
Are you?
It'd be good. Save for the end. We'll be right back on the Adam Carolla Show.
Doesn't care for that sort of thing.
Well, it's true.
Right.
You know why? Because you aren't the sound of my own voice.
Oh, Ed. Sweet irony.
All right. So young Danny, newly divorced and out making the rounds.
I wasn't really making the rounds. The rounds happened and I liked that. So let me recap this. Very pretty, very smart. Liked the fact that I'm on the radio. Was curious and interesting. Thought it was an interesting job, but has a very interesting job on her own. That's if it doesn't pay a ton, it is fulfilling. I'll give it. Like, let's say she's a child psychologist or something. You know what I mean? She's complete. She doesn't need me at all, and has shown interest. I've already overheard her talking about the shape I'm in with a sales lady. She has complimented Adam and you and the show. She said a line. Like the perfect, I actually had her stop. I said, I just want to remember that one in a million thing. Give me a second to commit that to memory because I liked it so much. We had a wonderful dinner, clever conversation, and I'm thinking to myself, I'll get through this. I'm going to be fine. She gets up and goes to the restroom. Here we come, ladies and gentlemen, waiting the crescendo.
Well, wait a minute. I have some guesses.
Well, I'm afraid you'll get them right.
Oh, I don't think I'm going
to. Okay, if you don't get them right, okay.
Four words broke Danny's heart.
And I've not, you know, I've known Danny, well, I feel like I've known him for 35 years, ever since watched the Partridge Family way back in the day.
You were looking at Susan Day.
There you go, not gay. But since I've known him on the radio, I've never seen him crestfallen, but today he was and is. Chris?
Yo.
You want to guess as to what the four words are?
Absolutely. I actually have two sets of four words, and these are the two horrible words, sets of words that you don't want.
Okay.
First one, I am a lesbian.
That would not have brought me down for one second.
That's tough.
Not a try to have been all over that.
All right. Second set, Chris.
Next one, I have a boyfriend.
All right, don't care. I have a few offerings.
Okay, I'm a lesbian, and you've shown me this much interest. That means, okay, we're not in love, but now I have two girlfriends.
Sure.
There was no way this girl was not sexually interested in me. That was coming then and there.
I think I have a few.
What do you have?
I hate red pubes.
How about that?
Followed by...
No. My dad's a cop.
Ooh.
That's a rough one.
I humped David Cassidy.
Wow. The blood just was drained from Danny's face.
I can't stand bedazzlers.
I think that's...
I will say that none of those are even close.
All right.
But Cassidy came up and I wasn't pleased about it. That's weird.
All right.
I'm not going to tell you my guess because I think I know the arena it's
in. Okay, so I just want to recap. I think this is a special human being. We've met for a reason. Whatever it is, I'm heartbroken. I'm grabbing at anything, but she does seem fabulous to me.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up, she goes to the bathroom, the waitress comes. I pay the check because I think she's asked if we're ready to get out of here. Which
she went out to dinner with somebody you met an hour earlier.
We ate faster than that.
They had already gone shopping.
Yeah.
They tried on a shirt. They were at the mall.
Two shirts.
Now they're at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole marathon date.
Yeah. No, right. And when she said, are you ready to get out of here? The implication to me was to my place. That's the way I felt that it was said. I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems very grown up for 25 years old. I think that woman knows what she wants and was going to take it.
Mm-hmm. And she asked to play with
and
her keys.
She said,
quick piece of clarity.
Yeah.
Pre-op, is that two words?
I think that's a hyphenate.
Okay, sorry, go ahead, Danny.
So, I pay the check, she comes back, she says, you ready to get out of here? And I said, yeah, I am. And she goes, do you want to split the check? And the waitress says, your father already paid.
Oh, man.
No!
She has red hair, and she's 25.
I had made a point all night at pointing out, you know, I'm old enough to be your dad. I don't want that to be a big surprise to her in the morning or next week or whatever.
Because you look younger than you are.
I'm physically built, like, of anybody of any age in good shape. My face is the face of a 47-year-old drunk. There's nothing you can do about that, and I don't mind it.
Lovable drunk, but
yeah.
Yes.
Right, so I'm totally cool with that, and I've pointed out a couple times, you know, I'm old enough to be your dad. I just want to make sure that she knows I'm aware of that and don't care. And I want to make sure she's aware of that and doesn't care.
Right.
But when she goes back from the bathroom and the waiter says, oh, don't worry about it. Your father already paid.
Mm-hmm.
There's death silence between us.
Mm-hmm.
And we get up and we walk outside. So those are the four words, by the way, right there.
Right.
Your father already paid.
And that was a deal breaker for her.
No, not at all, really. We went outside, and this is a very astute young lady. She looked at me. There was a minute or two of awkward silence, and you know, it's Hollywood Highlands, so people are still coming up to me, and I'm okay. And finally, we get in the elevator, and it's still silent. She looks at me, and she goes, "Are you devastated?" Just like that. And I said, "Are you humiliated?" And she said, "No." And I said, yes.
You're devastating.
And she said, we got to her house, and she said, why don't you come up? And I said, I absolutely can't.
Just because, well, first off, four words for the waitress. You owe me oral.
Why don't
because
you go
I'm,
back
I'm
over
I'm like an
there
American Indian that way. You know, when you save someone's life, now they owe you or you owe them or whatever. I'm that way except for oral sex.
No, I will go back.
You come in and C-block me, Squanto. You got to put out.
That seems fair.
I'm old.
And this waitress is reasonably hot now that I think
is
about
she?
It. So that's how into this chick I was. Now that I think about it, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention.
Don knee pads. This is with linoleum.
Chief Thunderbear has some advice for how to deal.
So, she invites me up, and all I can think is, if we were to get intimate, will she all of a sudden go, oh, old man smell?
Mm-hmm.
I can't shake it. I can't.
Smart money's
shake.
On axe, but either way.
Do they make that in mothball sex?
Because then we talked about it. You know, I know you're old enough to be my dad, but that kind of thing doesn't matter to me. And then the conversation that had been so casual and so clever and so general became about nothing but the fact that somebody had said your dad paid already.
Now, hold on. If I was free and single and I had myself a 25-year-old with the strawberry blonde hair and the double D's and she was able to get over the pops comment at the diner, I would have been past it an hour before that if we were heading up to her apartment. You couldn't put that aside? Did you get a phone number? Can you shake this off?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, here is the thing. I still want my wife back.
Mm. That's the real problem.
Mm-hmm. I did it when I still had her. The thing is,
too new.
Nope. I'd have done it in the car with her. I'm not real picky about that.
But she would have invited you in.
Wanted to. Absolutely wanted to. The point is, when I cross the line of actually sleeping with another woman,
then it's officially over.
I can't believe in my head I'll ever get Gretchen back.
So emotionally,
so I thought
that's
I can't go forward really. Because like I said, I'd married Gretchen in less time than this date took.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I had her home from the Highlands, I'd known her 6 or 7 hours or whatever it is, I'd married Gretchen and been married to her for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, in 17 years, the pool around the offices, I'll be dead in 11 months. So
oh, really?
The rest of my life is not necessarily that long. But I thought, this is, I can't replace.
When did it
replace...
go up to 11 months?
Yeah, I thought it was
we had
four?
It nine.
Oh, no,
we
it goes down nine. To three, the high end.
Right. Oh, I see.
It's
I
a
see.
Pool.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm going to get old and sick soon. I can't do this to her.
But why not get old on top of a 25-year-old?
Because I get late every day.
That keeps you young.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take the shot that steps me over the line of never getting Gretchen back. What she says doesn't matter. I'm never getting her back anyway.
Did you get a phone number? How about an address?
Yeah. I know everything about her.
You dropped her off at her house. You know where she lives, but did she give you her number?
Yes. She gave me lots of things.
All right.
Uh-oh.
I wasn't prepared to take that step.
Right, because that's like saying it's definitely
all right,
over.
But how about this?
Because I fall in love. If I was taking that step, I wasn't taking the step to get laid. I can get laid any day I want. This girl hit me right where I need to be hit.
Well, interesting, knowing yourself.
You know why I didn't sleep with her? I'll tell you really why. Because I really, really, really liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see a future for her or I, and somebody was going to get hurt. And I can go have sex with a 25-year-old that just is impressed with this show and what
right.
I do. And, you know,
right.
my mom watched The Partridge Family. I watched you on VH1. Right. This is Hollywood. I can get laid and lost.
She was too good for you to just sleep with.
Yes.
Roxy's calling from Lancaster, so you know she's hot, by the way. She's 20. Roxy?
Yes, Adam?
What's going on, baby doll?
Oh, not much. Getting on my way to my horrible job.
Mm-hmm. And you, says you're on the screen, you wouldn't mind going out with Danny?
I wouldn't mind at all. I would love to go out with Danny. And maybe Teresa can come, too.
Mm. Oh. Maybe.
Okay, see, this is just a big yes. Right here.
What do you,
And if Teresa's not into it, but that's the only way you'll do it, will you just do me a favor and watch? And just, like, think if that's the only way I'll get in the 20-year-old's pants,
will
just
you,
promise
will
to
you,
watch.
Tell us what you look like, Roxy.
Well, I'm 20. I'm Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Let's get cut to the chase. Height and weight, please.
I don't have double D's, but I have D's.
Actually, to be honest with you, that's not my favorite thing in the world. I just mentioned that she had them. I'm not necessarily a big breast guy.
Mm-hmm.
But height and weight, we got to go right there. How tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
Nice. What do you tip the scales at?
About 150.
150 at 5'4", so you're thick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's a great big fat
she's
person.
She's busty thick, though.
Mm-hmm. Not 5'4", 150. She's a thick girl.
And what are you on your way to? What job?
Hey, everybody. Make room for Jukebox coming up to... No, it's Roxy. That's right. Why?
Big gal. Don't call her fat, but do call her Jen. Roxy, rock your world. She's a solid geeka. Problem is, she has an E. Arse. Change four. That's all right, Bonaducci. Loaded for bear. Speaking of bear, yeah, he's wearing the champs with no pants again. All right.
Yeah, just so you know, you could be 5'4", 150 pounds, and have a real hairy back. I'll still do it with you. That's not the point.
Roxy?
You're okay with me.
What do you say you do for a living?
I'm actually a customer service representative at a dental supply company.
Hey, everybody, pop out your retainer and wag your tongues. Roxy's hitting the thing. Hey, baby, how about I give you a shot of Novocaine? You know where. Numbness ain't going to wear off for hours. Hey, baby. I got some gingivitis in my pants. How about you? Let me use your butt claws. Roxy J. Toy.
Oh, wait a minute. That's you. All right.
It's very sweet of Roxy to call.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of numbness.
Yes.
What about the numbness in Danny's heart? What about the fact that he doesn't want to sleep with anybody because that will mean it's really over with Gretchen and he's not ready for it to be over?
No. You're reaching me wrong. I don't want to sleep with anybody I like.
Yes, because
I
want to sleep with this. I'm sorry. Please don't hate me, ladies out there. But there are girls. Let's say Teresa. She's a very pretty girl. We get along. She doesn't like me that much. I don't like her that much. It's just the right moment. So we do it and what the hell. And I go about my business. I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a I had a wonderful time last night with this woman.
Right.
And that would have been stepping the line over the line from which I could not return.
Right.
Okay, so it wasn't just
basically,
a shag.
If you don't like me very much, please go to MySpace and offer sex with me. The requirement is,
and is that really
you have
gonna
to
help?
Not like me.
That's well, really going to help you.
No, well, we
talk about it. Because do you know that 72% of men have slept with women they actively dislike?
Oh, for me, it's a plus.
Sometimes,
really?
Yeah.
The grudge, F, as it's called?
I must say that when I go down my list of celebrities, you know, that sort of fantasy celebrity thing, there are plenty of attractive celebrities, and there are ones like, let's say, Katherine Heigl.
Yes, yeah. From Grey's Anatomy.
From Grey's Anatomy. Very, very... very attractive,
yeah.
Tall, blonde, beautiful woman, seems to have it all, and a great attitude to go along with it. Thus, a little lower on my list. You see, she's good looking, she's nice,
right.
But maybe too sweet, too nice. Again, if I'm going to marry someone, I'll marry her.
Sure.
She's a delight. But if I just get one shot,
yeah,
I want to wipe the smile off someone's face. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
Did you just cross the line into my world a little bit? Yeah. You see the squint in his eye?
I know what you mean.
It turns out I'm infectious.
If I'm
you got creepy and spooky.
Maybe.
No,
maybe.
I think it's more of a conquest.
I don't know what it is, but if it's just once, do you know what I mean? If it's just once, I mean, you want to eat right every day, but if it's a last meal, give me the greasiest, most disgusting, worst-free thing I can put into my body because it's just
or vice
one.
Versa.
It's or, right.
You're not talking like Paris
but
Hilton,
no,
bad,
you know
are
what?
You?
You know
no.
what? Just so you know what you sounded like, can I just repeat it to you? Just
because
it sounds like something I'd say when you see what it looks like. It was so non-Gorilla. You just said this.
Right.
If I'm just going to do it with her one time,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to wipe that smile off her face.
Mm.
Yeah. Dude,
yes.
Devil. What
There's
happened
devil
to
Adam.
You?
Yes, I'm trying to think.
That's awesome.
What's her name from Lost in Translation?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, now Scarlett Johansson, I think, would be on the top of my wipe the smile off her face list.
Does that mean you'd just be so good and gnarly and her head would explode?
Well,
Or you'd say nasty stuff to her while you hit it?
I know she would hate it.
Yeah, well, they all hate it. I just do it a lot. I'm not like really impressive at it.
I just mean the younger you are, but the older you act, and the more pretty boys you date, and the more sort of, blowhardy and windy you are, and the more you want to talk about the environment and not about whatever's going on around you, the more I'd like to wipe smile off face. Again, Katherine Heigl over there, beautiful, beautiful woman, seems nice, seems very down to earth. I would definitely marry her, but in terms of one shot,
yeah.
One crack.
My problem is, by the time I've conned a woman into sleeping with me, they've realized what's happening and wiped the smile off their own face.
Number two, George Takei.
Yeah.
That's right. Takei.
A lot of people thought I would stay in the realm of females. No,
yeah.
I'm going over to George Takei. Why?
My first wife was Japanese, and he's a pretty man.
Yes. Why?
And by the way, Takei means expensive in Japanese.
Oh, it does? I did not know that. Well, we will ask George about that. Why? Because he's coming in here next, and we'll ask him if it's Takei or Takei. I always said George Takei, but you know you've arrived when people are pronouncing your last name two different ways. We'll talk to George next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Just another bad guest.
Yeah, well... Let me tell you what's happening now with this Outbook August thing. Things are happening fast around here. George Takei is going to hang in the green room for just one more moment. Why? Well, because we have a Outbook August guest on the hotline.
Outbook August.
Oscar. Oh, wait a minute. Well, Jamie Foxx is going to be on this program, and Kyle types so slowly that I just see Jamie. We're waiting for him to pop on the line, and I see Jamie Foxx's name come up in the box, and then 10 minutes later, we'll be on the air in 5 minutes.
By the way, producer Angie has booked Jamie Foxx for the Outbook August concert.
She tasted like champagne.
Wait, I just thought of something. Because the rules of this, I clearly understand. It's weird because they're kind of arbitrary. Yet I understand them as if they're carved in stone. I don't know
That's
why.
That's right, Daddy. I mean, Danny.
Mm-hmm. I'll kill you right now.
Go ahead.
You know, they're, everybody's all cool. And you play the song about he's on a lot of steroids. He's taking a lot of drugs. Everybody should be afraid. And I just laugh it off. But I'll tell you right now.
He's
right
got one Achilles heel. The funny thing is, you really don't look your age. You're
you know
very
what the problem
handsome.
Is? My Achilles heel is only about 5'6" from my head. That might be part of the little man problem right there. Right, keep it.
Well, the rules.
Most people can't reach it without bending.
That was his water.
The rules, because everyone wants my $10,000, and we have Jamie Foxx calling in, and we have Kobe Bryant coming on later. And the news girl up the hall, not Teresa, the good one. What'd I say? The point is she's going to get Dr. Phil in here.
Something nice.
But then she wants to know if Dr. Phil's going to beat Jamie Foxx. And I say, well, if Dr. Phil comes on the show and gets into a shouting match with Bonaducci, which he has
already done,
or if he admits he's gay, or he takes a swing at somebody, or it depends what Dr. Phil does on the show. Yes, Brian?
Just to let you know, my roommate who books guests at USC for a class has a confirmation for next week for another Oscar-winning actor.
Really?
Can you give us any more hints? Or just
he's significantly older than Jamie Foxx, but very well-known, and has an extended family.
So, Brian, you've talked to your roommate and explained to your roommate who doesn't have a radio that he could win $2,500.
Exactly.
It will be delivered in cash by you in person if he can outbook August and April.
I'm just taking an agent fee of 5%.
All right.
Oh, Brian has a roommate.
That is,
all right.
Male, because I'm ready to be floored here. Shocking.
That kind of threw a monkey wrench in my knowing these rules as if they're in concrete. So who is it that believes they have Dr. Phil?
The girl, the news girl from down the hall, did you say? The good one?
Because yes. Dr. Phil called me at home last night.
He did?
What? Yeah. It's on my message board today.
What did he say?
Are you effing stupid?
Called me. Actually, he said that to me 100 times. Really? But his people called me to see if I would do a show, and I explained under what circumstances I would do it, which is weird. But this is an iffy thing for me. I still
don't
want
to
divorce.
What are your circumstances?
Nah, I'll tell you later. I just don't want to sit next to my wife on TV because she doesn't want me and I want her, and I'm not coming off a puss.
And
I'm just not going to do it.
This is wait a minute.
Outbook August.
Well, now we're talking. Jamie Foxx.
Hey. What up?
What's happening, Jamie Foxx? It's good to talk to you. It's been
good
a while.
Good to see you, man. What's going on? Who this?
This is Adam Carolla.
What's up, baby?
What's happening, Jamie? That's Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm big fans of all y'all, man. What's cracking?
Lying bastard.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours. I loved you in Dreamgirls.
Oh, thanks.
And let
Thank
me,
you.
As long as we're kissing some ass, let me.
Is that Danny?
Let
no,
me continue.
This is Danny.
What up?
Danny's the one that sounds like a guy.
Uh-oh.
What up, man?
Jamie, this is Adam Carolla.
What's up, Adam?
Now, I believe the last time we saw each other, you were doing Loveline.
Right.
A few years back on MTV.
Back in the day.
You were pushing your show that I think was on the WB at the time.
Right.
You've come a long way in that time. You were essentially a sitcom star on a semi-non-network back then.
Not even a real network.
Not even a real network. And now, look at you. But as I was saying before I even knew you were coming on the show, bona fide talent.
Yeah.
Sings, acts, does comedy. I mean, I don't know a more versatile actor. There's a lot of good actors and there's a lot of good comedians, but I don't know the combination of singing, doing the comedy and doing the series. Maybe Eddie Murphy, but I don't even know if Eddie Murphy.
Now, I will tell you, we did 5 minutes. Carolla did 5 minutes on how talented you are compared to almost anybody else we can think of.
That's right.
And that was a whole topic this morning, and then the fact that I didn't get laid last night. So it was you and me not getting any.
Well, Jamie, speaking of...
But E. Murph did his thing in Dreamgirls.
That's right. How was he to work with?
Huh?
How was Eddie Murphy to work with in Dreamgirls?
He's cool, man. He's a little quiet. You know, he's a little quiet.
Yeah.
Really, that should go like when he's acting. But he was kind of docile, you know, at a certain point. And I'm kind of like, you know, Eddie. He was like, you know, chill a little.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
prima donna.
Well, I mean, not really that, but I mean, you know, he's, you know, he's an artist, you know, the artist type. Dude.
Jamie, let me give you a tip, and it's good because you say the person's name twice, and it's code for a-hole, which is, I say, how's Eddie Murphy? And you go, you know, Eddie's Eddie. Once you say his name twice, now, if Eddie ever reads it in print, it doesn't look bad. It's not like his publicist.
I mean, it's like, you know, that's like, you know, I mean, that was like our hero, you know, growing up. You know?
Right.
And so it's like, you know, but he was a little quiet, you know, it was great.
All right, Eddie.
Will you humor me with one more Dreamgirls question, because I'm the hugest fan of that movie. There was a lot of talk that on set there was tension between Beyonce and Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
But, no, it wasn't none of that.
Beyonce, but I mean,
it
was Beyonce.
Just, I mean, Dreamgirls is one of the most talked about movies. And so when you have all of that, you know, the women and everything like that, it was a great story. Even now, like, they're like, they're killing Jennifer Hudson. They're saying she's this monster and all this other kind of stuff. For some reason, Dreamgirls just had that thing that everybody wanted to talk about. But every time I saw them, they seemed like they was getting along.
Well, Jamie, for a guy... In a way, we were just talking about how versatile you were and how talented you are. And again, that's not just lip service.
Yeah, I think you're so talented you could actually replace Jennifer Hudson and nobody would have known. Truly, you could have pulled that off, man.
Truly believe it. Probably look better in the dress. The point is for a guy who can do anything, you do a dramatic role, you do a comedy, you could sing, you could do an album. What do you want to do the most next? And do you want to just keep doing different things?
I just want to keep doing, like, you know, different things that ain't... You know, off the beaten path, in a sense, because, I mean, when you think about it, like, when you look at, like, the comedies of Will Smith and Chris Tuck, and all, they already had those things kind of, like, locked down. So when you do something like Ali or Ray Charles or whatever like that, we were kind of building our own, you know, kind of like our own little thing. And then, like, even with the live show, and I'm coming to Fresno with a live show.
That's what I wanted to say.
I come out and I smash, like, 20, 25 minutes worth of comedy for all the young comedians that think that they, you know, that I done dropped my comedy sword or whatever like that. I keep that heated up, and then we go to the music. That's something for the ladies, and then we got some surprises. You know what? I'm gonna make it do what it do. So I just try to, like, do things that people, you know, aren't doing right now, and try to make those things happen.
So you're gonna be at Fresno or in Fresno tomorrow night.
For sure.
Jamie Foxx, Unpredictable, live in concert.
Yeah.
So it's comedy, it's music, and it's guests as well.
Yeah, and I had to do an apology for Fresno because I had to cancel because I was sick. When we were supposed to do the show.
They hear us in Fresno.
I'm coming and giving it all.
Yeah,
so you're
going
to Fresno, then San Jose this Saturday, and then Los Angeles coming up next Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, man.
You know, does it ever intimidate you talking to a guy like this? We're talking to Jamie Foxx. He says, well, first we'll do the comedy because I'll show him I can drive my comedy. Then we'll play a little piano. That's for the ladies. And then I'm going to do what I do. And it's like, I get on stage and I can make that fart sound with my armpit.
Yeah.
And we have reached the end of my talent.
It's only good for about 45 minutes, and then it starts to get boring.
Well, I'm sure, Jamie, you've got no trouble with the ladies. You're not married, right?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
Why ruin it? Why blow it?
Are you dating anyone?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I date.
I mean, are you dating everyone?
I mean, you got to be selective, you know what I'm saying? You know, but
no,
I mean, this is a good time, you know? Having a good time.
This is a good time to be Jamie Foxx.
It's a good time. Come on, man.
But I think what Jamie's doing... He's doing it the smart way, which he announces. He does what Clooney does. He gets it out there that he's a confirmed bachelor,
right,
that he's not looking to get married.
Right.
And then anyone who goes out with him knows the ground rules in advance.
Exactly. Then that way you kind of keep the air clear. I think the most important thing is just keeping it honest, man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I run into girls and be like, you know, why should you be married? You know,
no,
have a good time.
It's smart. It's sort of like, it's what Snoop Dogg does with the weed, which is he lets everyone know he smokes weed constantly, and then if you walk into his green room and he's toking out, you don't say anything because that's Snoop.
Right.
If you walk into Jamie's green room and he's on top of his publicist, hey, it's Jamie.
That's Jamie.
He's already told you he's not looking to get married.
Right.
Oh, man, don't blow it.
Smart, yeah.
I'll bet you don't say that in your trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I do love it when you
flirt with... Is anybody married on the phone right now? You guys married?
No. I'm married.
Oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah. I was married until 2 days ago.
Oh, get out of here.
For real.
Danny's getting divorced. As a matter of fact, you guys... By the way, you would never look shorter or whiter than if you're standing next to Jamie Foxx.
Dude, I look short and white next to Ron Howard.
That's terrible.
That's twice Jamie Foxx called me hysterical. I want more money.
Hey, you can open for you. So, so Jamie, you'll be playing. Now, when you do your live show, you'll do the 25 minutes of stand-up, and then you'll go over to the piano. Do you play other instruments, by the way?
Nah, man. I play the piano. I mess around with the little drum machine and whatever like that. But, you know, just the piano. And then the way we do the the way we do the stand-up, it's like two different shows. We come out, and it's like you think it's a complete stand-up show. Then we come out with some other surprises. I don't want to, you know, let out the bag. But when you see it, it's crazy. And we've had guest stars on the show. We've had Common. We've had Snoop. We've had Kanye West. We've had Ludacris. So, you know, we keep it popping.
Does and we when you get behind the 88s there, do you do some Ray Charles stuff? Do you do some Dreamgirl stuff? Do you do stuff we'll know?
All of that. Because like I said, this is the first show of its kind of where you can actually squeeze a little bit of all of those different characters and the things that you do within within your show. That's what makes it different.
And what's the next movie that's coming out for Jamie Foxx?
The next movie is called Kingdom with Jennifer Garner and Chris Cooper. We track a serial killer over in the Middle East.
Kind of crazy. So it's a farcical comedy?
And, Michael Mann producing.
Ooh.
It's a farcy comedy.
I love I love Michael Mann.
He did Collateral, he's a
monster.
Yeah, yeah. How was that? How about Colin Farrell? How's he doing?
Colin's cool, man.
Colin's you know, Colin?
He gets it on in.
He does.
He lives the dream.
Yeah.
You
know, sometimes
he ain't playing around with it.
No, I'll tell you, I was at a bar, and this was recently, so I just happened to physically be in a bar, not drinking. I don't drink anymore. So anyway, this guy pulls up on the baddest ass Harley I ever saw. He's wearing a wife beater, he's ripped up, he's got some tats, but he's wearing a full face helmet, which is undone on a Harley. Like, it can be pouring rain and icicles. You're not allowed to wear a full face helmet on Harley.
Not on a Harley.
It can't be done.
Rice rocket, fine.
Right, exactly. And then he pulls it off, and I'm going to make fun of him. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say anything, but I just, I know I don't like him. I know he's an idiot and just can afford that bike.
Right.
And he pulls it out, and all this hair falls back, and it's Colin Farrell.
George Shakai.
Oh, damn. And you realize he has to wear the full face to be able to get through traffic. Because, I mean, I'm the straightest guy in the whole world. And when he turned and looked at me, that's a stunning guy.
Yeah,
and I can see chicks going crazy.
He does it, man. And it ain't no... I was at a basketball game in Miami. And they you know how they put the Jumbotron on all the stars?
Yeah.
And they put it on him. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
Rap.
Yeah.
And he lives it, too. He embraces it, which is cool, because a lot of times people are like, oh, no, you know, I'm really about my acting. And I'm just... No, he, you know, he really enjoys it, man. And he brings a party with it. And he's a family dude, too, which makes it even worse.
Right.
Like, he loves his...
your family.
Mom,
so
women just go nuts.
But Jamie, I'll be honest. Jamie Foxx, easy on the eyes, by the way,
is well.
I just try to maintain.
Well,
you're maintaining.
You've done a little more than maintain. As I was explaining that to my wife when we were watching Miami Vice, I said, good looking slab of dark meat there, that Jamie Foxx.
And by the way, Jamie, you know who seems to be in love with you? And please be honest.
Who's that?
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, I love Oprah.
She loves you. I've seen the two of you.
Man, when I met Oprah, I was like, man, if she weren't with Stedman, you know.
Really?
We could try.
Like there's a connection there.
Little older.
I mean, it really, really is. I mean, and not only on just the defined tip, but she gave me like some advice about how not to blow it. Because, you know, I was, when all this stuff started happening, I was getting ready to make a joke out of it. She was like, no, no, let me take you. She took me to meet Sidney Poitier. I saw you one time. And I got a chance to meet him, Quincy Jones, and all these different people, man. So, yeah, big up.
Would you know what I dig? One of the biggest stars in the world telling us the fancy stars he got to meet.
Yeah.
He's still a fan.
Oprah was a mentor to you.
Yeah, huge fan. I mean, you know, when you get thrown in the... Because really, like, at the end of the day, you know, my comic and my comedian thing is really, like, you know, where I am. So when I get a chance to meet some of these cats, you know, that I've either made jokes about or, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, thought I'd never meet them, you know, it blows your mind.
You would have sex with Oprah?
What?
You'd get down with Oprah if you could?
I mean, it depends on the situation.
She's single?
If Stedman weren't in the picture...
If Stedman weren't in the picture, man, we can make happen.
Dude, with that kind of dough, Stedman could be in the room, and I'd still do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see there's a connection between Jamie Foxx and Oprah when he's on her show. You can tell.
Yeah, man, that's my point.
I'll tell you.
And I know this is something like when she went over with the girls' school and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and my manager's daughter and all of the women folk got a chance to go over there and experience that in Africa, man. Oh. And it's like she does things like I used to go like, you know, I'd be like, man, you really don't have to save all of these people, but you know, but she, you know, she just does it. It's just, you know, it's just in her. So it's certain things that you get when you know certain people that you meet to where you know you kind of turn your bull meter off because you know like I'm always joking everything on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those situations.
Well, if you can get me invited to her next Players Ball, whatever that thing is.
The Legends Ball, something else, buddy.
I want some of those diamond earrings, brother.
Were you at the Legends Ball, Jamie?
Oh, man, I missed it, man. Mad as hell. And everybody was there partying. People was texting me. It was off the chain.
If I was in charge, and it's a good thing that I'm not, I would insist that Jamie Foxx impregnate Oprah. And then when she gave birth, I would hold that kid up like the Lion King, like
or the opening scene from Roots.
Right, like Roots. But this kid will be the smartest, best looking, most talented, most powerful brain, and we would all hail him and be the first black president.
We thought the same thing you thought, but ever since Ima said what he said, we're actually afraid as white people to say the words Kunta Kinte.
Oh, man, don't be. Come on, but the thing is, like when you guys say the thing, we understand. Where it's coming from.
Oh, thank you.
That's your thing.
So what about Imus quickly? Should he be pulled off the air? Should he be disciplined?
I think he should be pulled off the air at least for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is because it comes from out of nowhere, because Imus is not exactly the funniest guy in the world.
Well, that's the thing.
You understand what I'm saying?
He can't say he's doing comedy.
Like, when we talk about things, and you know where we come from, we kind of stay in our comic, you know, detached from, you know, we don't look at anything as serious in a sense.
Yes, I think part of
Imus' situation, he's a guy who, when I watch Imus, I really look at Imus to look for like newsworthy things and different perspectives. So when he makes those comments to where it was like, you know, the nappy headed hoes thing, I said, you know, you're just a little out of bounds with that. Right. So let's just take a break for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it is an interesting point, and I don't think Imus should be taken off the air. I think something should be done with him. I'm not sure what. I like the free speech stuff, but I'm going to make your point and agree with your point, which is Imus stopped doing comedy in the mid-40s. Somewhere after we dropped the bomb on Japan, he stopped being funny, and he started being political, and he started bringing on big-name political guests and started doing a fairly serious political talk show.
Right.
And then once you go from shock jock to political commentator and you say something offensive, it's no longer Howard Stern saying it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like, you know, it's the difference. Like it's the difference between someone who doesn't do stand up and they try to do it and it comes off like, yo, why, you know, it's a little strange. You know, it doesn't come off like. Like you're joking about it. The way it came off is like that's how you really feel.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's all about perception, man. Yeah, when we put our perceptions out there, because all about being a celebrity now is being perception. So whatever they perceive, you know, it came off wrong.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
For
whatever reason he thought he was saying it fly, it just came off wrong.
If you want to perceive Jamie Foxx in person, you can see him in Fresno. Tomorrow night, San Jose, Saturday night, and then out here in Los Angeles next Friday and Saturday doing the comedy, playing the piano, special guest. Jamie Foxx, thank you very much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure, man.
It was our pleasure. And come in and see us in person one of these days.
For sure, man.
We'll
really cook it up.
I will dry hump your leg. I promise you that. We will take a quick break. George Takei. Well, you, of course, know him from Star Trek all those years, or many other endeavors as well. He'll be in next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Entering limits of system L374, sir. Scatters show the same evidence of destruction.
George Takei is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, he told me moments ago it was Takei.
He mispronounced it. But I don't object to Takei because that translates into English as expensive. But I'm Takei, which doesn't mean cheap either.
But are you expensive?
I am, as a matter of fact. I ain't cheap.
George,
but my name is pronounced Takei.
George, Well, what your nationality and your story?
I'm an American.
Ah, I like
my
that.
My nationality
trick
is
question.
American.
I like that.
You fell right into that, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I
wish third
more,
generation American.
That's
I wish
more than I can say. I'm only
folks
second.
Were that way. What? So what is the story? What is your family's story? And then acting, and where did it all begin?
Well, I think it began in the 1890s when my grandfather first came to this country.
Can so actually, I
I'm second
this?
Generation, you know.
Right,
your grandfather
can.
Came.
I don't want
yeah.
to cut you off, George, but I just have to laugh. I'm
what?
Being very truthful. I say to George Takei, where did it all begin? He says it starts in the 1890s, and I look up and I see Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant is on the phone.
Kobe Bryant is on the telephone, and I'm thinking, I wonder if we can make it into the 40s, maybe the early 50s, before I punch into Kobe Bryant.
What
How
do we
long
do?
Is NBA star Kobe Bryant going to sit on the phone while we go through
well,
the lineage
well,
of
George, would you mind if we put your story on hold briefly?
Well, let me correct your pronunciation of his last name.
Oh, good. Mm.
I mean, his first name.
Mm. Yes, because it's Japanese. It's,
yes, he's named after that city
Steak.
There.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kobe.
Kobe.
What's up?
You can't say anything right today.
I know. Well, thank you for coming on the show, number one.
By the way, he's also named after Bryant Gumbel.
No.
Kobe.
How you guys doing?
Good. We're doing good. You have an interesting story as well, right? You started off in Italy?
Yeah, I started off playing in Italy. Actually, we moved over there when I was about 6 years old. You know, my father was playing basketball over there. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience.
An interesting culture. Yeah. Where did you guys move when you moved to the States from Italy?
Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right.
Right. That's where I'm from.
Yeah, we moved to Philadelphia. I mean, that's where my father's from, my mother's from, my whole, you know, our entire family's basically from Philadelphia. So
my family moved from Italy to Philadelphia.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But can I ask you this? It's going to sound kind of like I'm trying to make a joke, but it's kind of real, I would think. When an African-American family moves to Italy, are you known as, hey, it's that black kid?
You know, it's funny. When I first moved over there, you know, one of these kids who eventually became, you know, a really good friend of mine, but I think I was the first black person he's ever
That's
seen.
That's what I meant, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was kind of like, you know, he was kind of looking at me like, what the heck?
How are you treated?
But it was, we actually became best friends.
Huh.
So how was the culture there? And boy, we're going way back to the late 80s. it was a different time.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed it though. You know, as a kid growing up, you know, you don't really appreciate the fact that you're growing up in another country or appreciate the history that's involved. When you get older and, you know, I'm able to take, you know, our kids over to Italy, and now you kind of have a deeper appreciation.
And do you, Kobe, first off, let me heap some praise on Kobe. The fact that he scored 81 points, I guess it was last year, and the fact that he's got 50 points plus four straight games this season. I mean, it's one thing to dominate back in Wilt's day when you're 7 foot and you got a bunch of guys that are 5'9 in tight shorts and horn-rimmed glasses chasing you around up and down trying to trip up a giant.
I saw that
to
movie.
Dominate in the NBA in this modern day is the tallest order in sports for me. I mean, the idea that you're up there with the best athletes on the planet and they're all trying to stop you from scoring and you can put in 50 plus four times in a row is absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, I and getting staying on basketball for a second, you're one of the earlier guys to go right from high school to the pros, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
There's been a few guys. It's become sort of commonplace now. People thought they were taking a chance on you 8 or 9 years ago, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I was the first, you know, guard to come out and, you know, go straight from high school to the NBA. I mean, prior to me, it was all big guys. 7 feet, so.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer when you're 7'2 to forget college and go right to the NBA, but you were still growing and probably 6'6 or something, right?
Yeah, well, I wish I was still growing. My dad's 10, so I always thought I was going to be about 6'8 or 6'9, so I kind of got gypped in the height department.
Yeah, only 6'6.
Yeah, what a rip. And now I can't believe, are you going into your ninth season?
Yeah, it's either my 9th or 10th or something like that. I've been in the NBA for a while.
But nice, because you got started when you were 11.
So yeah, I know, right?
I mean, you're how old? What's your current age, Kobe?
I'm 28 right now.
28, and he's been in the season for 9 or 10 years.
And when you met your wife, she was still a high school student, right?
So we're both young. I mean, you know, that's one of the things about when you come in the NBA early out of high school when you're, you know, 17 years old when I first came in the NBA and you've been in the league for, you know, 8 or 9 years, however long it's been, you know, you get a chance to be, you know, a veteran but still be young. So that's, you know.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
How's it going with Shaq Fu these days? Do you guys talk? I don't know. I think you guys have buried the hatchet a little bit, but are you friends? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we send each other gifts. You know, our daughters were born on the same day.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we send each other gifts. Every time we see each other, we speak. So, no, it's all good.
So everything, whatever controversy there was between your bad blood is behind you.
Yeah, that's correct.
I have never seen, I don't know anything about sports. You're one of the people that are so famous, you transcend a sport and to become a kind of historical figure. That's why I know you or Will Chamberlain or Babe Ruth. I just don't care much about sports. But I'll tell you what I think the controversy was, and I don't know anything about sports. It's that Shaq's 8 feet tall and can stand there and dunk a basket, and this is the most talented, versatile person in the whole sport. Well, that would bother me.
Was there him stealing some of your thunder or vice versa? Do you think that was part of the problem?
Nah, you know what? I really didn't care. I mean, you know, it was, you know, some people just don't see eye to eye. I mean, that's just, you know, for whatever reason it is. Mm-hmm. You know, that being said, we won 3 championships together. So really, how many disagreements could you possibly have?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so what if Shaq were to come back to go for a 4th? Would that be cool with you?
That'd be fine with me.
You have no problem.
I've always said, you know, I had a good time playing with him. You know, like I said, I think it gets lost in the mix with he and I and you know, whatever happened, the fact that we won 3 world titles.
Well, what actually really did happen? When did Shaq become angry with you?
I don't know. I mean, you're taking me way back in the day, and I really don't know.
Again,
I mean,
we're going back to 04, for Christ's sake.
That's one of the differences between.
I mean, it's something that, like I said, sometimes people just have different disagreements where they don't see eye to eye. And, you know, it's not necessarily one thing that kind of, that kind of causes that or whatever. It's just, you know, it's just an ongoing process.
One of the other major differences between Mr. Bryant and myself, if a 7'2", 300-pound black man got mad at me, I'd know exactly when, where, and why.
Plus, you wouldn't see Ida. You'd
see Ida Sack.
Ida Sack. I would see Sack Shaq and Shaq Sack.
Shacko e Shacko.
Kobe, do you still speak any Italian?
I do. You know, not as much as I would like, but yeah, you know, I speak some occasion.
You know, it'd be nice, and I think it'd be a nice advantage too. You teach the rest of the guys on the team how to speak Italian, then you guys just speak Italian out on the court.
Yeah.
That
freak
way,
everybody out.
You can yell, "I'm cutting to the hoop," or "alley oop," or whatever.
Pick and roll.
No one would know what the hell you're saying. They think you're talking about what you're going to eat later on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, we actually have one player. We got one player on the team who speaks Italian. We have another one who speaks Serbian.
That's right.
Yeah, we have another one who speaks French. So we got a lot of different cultures on our team.
You got Luke Walton, who doesn't speak any language.
No, he speaks Hesher.
I speak Stoner. By the way, he's hot for Britney Spears, I think, and Britney is hot for Luke Walton,
is that
or
true?
So I hear. What do you know about that, Kobe?
Oh, really? Man, I don't know. Y'all asking me about gossip. I have no idea.
Oh, really?
I have no idea.
Plain?
I don't know.
Playing it close to the vest. Well, Kobe, before we let you go, give us, we'll give you some plugs, by the way, but predictions. Who do you like? Playoffs coming up, and I guess they start in about a week or so, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, in the Eastern Conference, I mean, you got to go with, you know, the usual suspects, the Pistons and the Heat. Mm-hmm. In the Western Conference, I mean, you have a lot of teams because, you know, the Western Conference is loaded. There's so many talented teams on any given night can beat you. You know, so we feel like we're a dangerous team in the playoffs. Denver's a dangerous team. You know, there's San Antonio, there's Dallas, there's Phoenix. I mean, there's just a list of teams that can really cause some problems in the West.
How aware are you when you're out on the court of where Jack Nicklaus is or – was it Jack Nicklaus? Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Or even the golfer, Jack Nicklaus. Or whatever. Giant cannon. You're playing down, especially playoff times, you're down the Staples Center here in Los Angeles. There must be 55 stars courtside on any given day. How aware are you and the players of where those guys are? Do you pick them out? Do you point them out?
Well, we see them. I mean, they're normally sitting, you know, either courtside or just, you know, a row right behind, you know, courtside. And Jack Nicklaus, I mean, he's there every game, and he sits right on the court. And, you know, you can hear him. I mean, he's a trash talker. So he's,
really?
You know, he's cussing out the refs. He, you know, he's doing the whole thing.
Does he say anything to you? Does he ever get on you? Or does he ever, you know, say words of praise? Or if you take a bad shot, does he have anything to say?
No, I mean, you hear him cheering for you, though, and more so he's just kind of talking trash to the other team.
I like it.
I like that.
And
does
he want to hang?
Which is pretty awesome, you know what I mean? Yeah. Once you push that face on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of cussing you out and the eyebrows go up.
Yeah, everyone else just has a fat guy and cut off sweats. We have the Riddler. Or the Penguin or whatever the hell he was making fun of your guy. The Joker, that's right.
Yeah, I was thinking more of him in A Few Good Men. You want the ball?
Right. Hey, Kobe, what do you think, just because it's all over the news, what do you think of this whole Don Imus thing?
Ah, man, it was kind of disgusting, honestly.
Yeah, because for you, you got the basketball, you got the brother.
Right.
Part two, so this is a 1-2 punch for you.
Those girls are excellent Division I athletes, and they were spoken about in that manner.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, something has to be done about that. I mean, that's just not, you know, it just shows that we have a long way to go, you know, as a society as a whole. I mean, there's still, there's still a lot of mountains to climb. Before we get to the place where you really want to be. So, I mean, it's just proof of that.
Yeah, and I know, he ruins it for all white people when he makes those kinds of comments.
Ruins it for all white people just by looking like that,
Kobe,
and being white.
Do you feel like Don Imus is just an old white guy that doesn't know better, or do you feel like in his heart he's racist?
You know, I really don't know, because I don't listen to his show. You know what I mean? So I have no
idea. Right in his demo. Everyone else in the NBA.
Based on that comment, the nappy-headed hose comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't like the comment at all. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and I know the guy and call him a racist or a bigot or whatever, but, you know, that comment is just inappropriate, period. And, you know, for that to just, you know, roll off of his tongue so effortlessly is concerning.
Kobe Bryant,
Kobe
Bryant, I should say, we'll be watching tomorrow night at the Staples Center at 7:30. We won't actually be there because we're not Jack, but we'll be watching as the Lakers take on the Clippers. Oh, a little crosstown rival. Also, Kobe, your shoe.
Ooh.
New shoe.
Yeah.
When is that released, or it's going to be released?
It's released. It's actually out now.
All right. And I'll pick up a set of those, and I'll be watching tomorrow night when you guys crush the Clippers. Please put the Clippers back in their place, for Christ's sake. They're the Clippers. You should be explaining them that over and over again.
Tell Jack Nicholson to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be there. I'm sure he'll be ready for tomorrow. So.
All right, Kobe. Thank you for coming on the show. And come see us in person anytime.
All right.
Kobe Bryant, everybody. All right, now where were we?
Very
we're out
charming.
Of time.
I'll tell you that story would have been nothing had the kid not said, it's Kobe.
That's right.
He carried that whole thing, man.
George.
On my strong shoulders.
George Takei.
That's a deep voice, man. That's a set of pipes.
From Thank here. You so much for your patience, George.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm a guest here. You got to be a polite guest.
Yeah, from your mouth to God's ears.
That's what they said about me until they all got fired.
We need to take a quick break, but do not worry, George. We've not forgotten about you.
I could use the break. I've been sipping tea here.
I see what you mean.
George the guy who has to pee.
The K.
Whatever you want to pee out of is all right.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
We will take a quick break. Takei will relieve himself of some of that green tea on Danny's shoes, God willing, and we'll be back to talk to him next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Forget about me. What about the very genteel George Takei? We just took a whiz together, by the way.
How was that?
Informative, enlightening.
What'd you
learn? By side.
What did you learn, George, about Adam?
First I learned that
he uses the taller urinal.
Right.
Yeah. I've learned that the stereotype for the Asian man, not true.
Really?
Not true.
George.
You peeked over the partition.
I looked under the partition. He's that hung.
George, you've recently come out. Now.
No, not recently.
It's been a while.
I
slept with him about 3 years ago.
I've been together with my partner for 20 years, so we've been out for decades.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The reason why you use that word coming out recently is because the California legislature did an historic thing.
Yes.
2 years ago, they passed the same-sex marriage bill. It was a landmark event because in Massachusetts, they have a same-sex marriage, but it came through the judicial route, not the legislature.
Got it.
So this was the first time in American history. And all that was required for that to become the law of the state was the signature of our governor, a movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when he ran for office, he made all these politics statements. You know, I'm from Hollywood. I've worked with gays and lesbians. I'm comfortable with them. Some of my best friends are.
Groped gays and lesbians.
Sure, not knowing.
And lesbians, yes, especially. Right. But so I thought surely he was going to sign it, and it was going to be something that was going to bookend the United States, Massachusetts and California.
Right, and then he started filling it in between. Yes.
Then I felt I needed to speak out. And for me to do that, my voice needed to be authentic. So I spoke to the press for the first time. You guys.
Right. But
and
in your circle,
that's a Pandora's box. But, you know, my family, my friends, we've supported Brad Altman and I have supported nonprofits, you know, and our names are carved together in granite on donor walls. So, you know, we've been out.
Would you get married?
Yes, if it's absolutely going to be legal.
Well, they've
here.
Been together for 20 yes. years, yeah. And if your partner was in the hospital, say, absolutely. You wouldn't be able to go see him.
Or, you know, to share our property benefits, insurance benefits.
Not all it's cracked up to be, buddy.
Danny's going through a problem.
But still, you have it, you know, and in this system, we believe in equality, you know.
Right.
And just because the person I love happens to be of the same sex, same gender, you know, is that justification? For example, let's look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
You know, national security is of prime importance to our country.
Sure.
Intelligence is a key factor that holds up national security. We have good, experienced intelligence officers in the military intelligence service who are Arabic speaking, which is essential for good intelligence.
Right.
Being fired when they discover they're gay. I mean, which is more important, national security or homophobia?
Plus,
clearly it's not national
security.
Gays
are better collecting the gossip than the straight people are anyway. You know what I mean?
This
isn't gossip, this is fact.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're talking about intel.
They're collecting of information. But here's how I would do it if I was in charge.
Okay.
Oh, well, then you should be in charge. Let's hear it.
Yes.
I would take a good look at the things that I know are going to be acceptable 20 years, 10 years even down the road from where we are now. It's like if I was a politician and it was 1955, 1960, and someone was saying, hey, these blacks, they want to use the same drinking fountains we're using, and they want to sit in the front of the bus or anywhere on the bus and blah, blah, blah. I would say, well, do we really think we're going to have two drinking fountains 100 years from now? How long do you think this is going to go on? I mean, let's be realistic. First off, it's wrong. But then secondly, I don't want to be the guy 20 years from now who was hanging on to this archaic dream when everyone was going, could you believe it? What were we thinking?
Strom Thurmond didn't look like a great guy.
It'll be that way with same-sex marriages. It'll be that way with stem cell research. People in the future, our kids will be looking at us and laughing, going, what the hell were they thinking? Just like when we look back on segregation and other things, women not being able to vote or whatever, we go, God, what were we thinking? Well, think of those things that'll fall under the heading of what were we thinking, and just go ahead and vote for them because you don't want to be made fun of 20 years from
now. Not only laughing, but they will be crying because, you know,
they'll feel the vengeance from your sword.
Come on.
Swear vengeance on them.
Iraq war. You know, there's a manpower shortage. They're extending the service time. We've lowered the recruitment standards.
We're taking accepting felons
people
now. Yes.
With criminal records.
We're extending their tours.
Right.
We're firing soldiers with outstanding military records when they find out they're gay.
You know,
that is tragic.
By the way, if you can't be gay when you're in the Army, where can you? To me, that's the best place to be gay. That's yes. where
even
that's
better, right. Navy. Sure. You know,
oh, shit. Oh, and those pants that stitch up in the front.
I'm
right.
telling you.
Hold on. We need to take a break. I want to get more into this with George Takei.
He's been very open with us.
Going gay with George Takei, everybody. We got a Jackson,
oh, that happy, are you listening? Oh, I'm so glad.
We got a weekend show. Leo, move over. There's a new sheriff in town. He's gay and his name's Takei. We'll take a quick break.
They rhyme.
We'll take a quick break. Back with George next. Well, George Takei in studio. By the way, Heroes, Monday night, 9 o'clock, NBC. Congratulations on that. Now back
to
the gays.
Well, incidentally, you know, it's off right now. They're on hiatus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a show called Thank God You're Here is replacing it. And I just can't seem to get away from that time slot because I'm going to be... No, actually, it's not that time slot. Thank God You're Here is going to be on for 2 weeks on Monday nights on NBC at 9, the same spot as Heroes.
Hosted by my life partner, David Allen
That's
Greer.
That's right. They are life
your
partners.
Life partner. Good for you. You came out.
I call him D.A. Queer. It's a funny thing we do.
But I'm going to be on that show when it moves to Wednesday, April 18th on Thank God You're Here.
Have you already shot that show?
We filmed that.
Is it funny?
Already. It is terrifying.
Because you walk out, you have no idea.
No rehearsal, no nothing.
Wow.
And then they throw you into a costume, and you don't know what they're putting you into, really. And then you shove you on a set.
Right.
And they all look at you and say, thank God you're here. And you got to throw yourself into that improvisation.
I've been to a sex party like that. Well, they put you in this bunny suit and push you out, and everybody else is dressed like rabbits.
Yeah, but you don't have to create. You just go with
start like bunnies.
He creates.
Should we talk about the gay lifestyle? Because I have many thoughts.
Yes.
Everyone knows I've often said I wish I was gay. And maybe you could turn me out. I don't know, George.
No, you know,
let you
if
try.
Your hormones haven't told you by this time, forget it.
Well, it's a great life. And the thing about the gay populace, I'd like to see it go up. I really would. I don't understand why straight guys, A, don't want that population to get bigger because
right.
it's a bigger pool of women for us to choose from, number one. But number two, let's look at the life. As I've said many times, first off, they recycle. They're into the environment. They pay their taxes. They're not criminals. And here's all you need to know about gay and the gay lifestyle. Just look at Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yep.
Get on Santa Monica Boulevard over on Western. It is a dump. It is a dive. It is dirty. It is ugly. It is a filthy, dicey, dangerous, unattractive stretch of Santa Monica Boulevard. And then start walking west. Now, here's how you know you get to the gay neighborhood, when you get to Boys Town. When, A, the lawns start looking like putting greens.
Right.
When the graffiti goes away, when there's no more junkies and there's no more snot rockets
when
and there's no more
topiaries.
There are topiaries,
yes, there
right.
Are.
Dude.
Right. Albeit shaped,
it's the best city in
shaped like a phallus, but yet
it's just a cypress, dude. Can I get your mind out of the gutter?
Man, where am I at? And those two smaller shrubs.
Well, George is like an old married guy. He doesn't hang out at Rage, yes?
Well, no, I go.
Ooh,
but you know, again, that it's a wonderful stereotype, but that is a stereotype because there are gays at Santa Monica and Western too.
Recycling.
Yeah,
it's a matter of economics.
Cleaning
glass.
Cleaning the sidewalk with a toothbrush and yelling at Mexicans.
Or volunteering. volunteering at the clinic.
Spitting is coming out, yes.
That Western and Santa Monica, is you are in spitting distance of both Teresa's and my home.
That is my neighborhood.
Mine too.
All I'm saying
that's
is
my Ralph's.
We're not too far from there, or, you know, rather hip area.
How much is a 2,000 square foot house at Western and Santa Monica, and then how much for one on Santa Monica and Doheny?
Property values are very different.
Well, why? It's as the crow flies, a mile and a half. How could it be so different?
Economics, money.
That's right. People take care of their homes.
Exactly.
People
are. And gays do have a better sense of style.
Yes, and you're not
crapping
out 19 kids and making it the city's problem.
But there are poor gays, too.
That's true.
That live in poor neighborhoods.
Right, who have to take care of themselves.
Or have to take care of the lawns on in West Hollywood.
There's gay gardeners?
Ah. Yeah. There's gay men.
Do you employ one?
What?
Do you have a gardener?
I do have two gardeners.
Do you remember back in the day when gardeners were Japanese? Everybody had a Japanese gardener?
Yes. That was shortly after we came
out
of the German camps.
Right. There's economics.
Exactly.
Are your gardeners gay?
No, my gardeners are.
But
they've got tons of children.
You insist.
Is your weed whacker gay?
What?
You insist they work shirtless anyway?
Oh, yes. There's one that.
Is he handsome?
In the summertime, I look forward to him.
George comes out with a little sweet tea. Hello.
That was part of the job requirement.
It is hot out, isn't it? It's raining, George. It's still bothering me.
Get out of those white clothes.
Well, then get out of your clothes. You don't want to get them wet. I want to see your body wet.
Wow.
George, of the young male celebrities, if you could have one night, if your man would give you a night off, who would you choose to have?
I know that I'm on radio, and I know that Brad is listening. Mm-hmm. And so I would say I would not do that.
Brad Garrett.
I love Brad.
Brad Pitt.
Let's just say that Brad went away, and he wasn't in the picture, and you could have one night with anyone.
Ask me after the show.
Just get this out of the way right now so you'll feel better. I've actually done it with Brad.
Yeah,
and he said I was better than you. So now that that's out, why you go ahead and tell us who you
want? I like that, though.
I'll have a talk when I get home.
Is Brad, who would be the most coveted in the gay community? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, if there were one guy in the straight community, Hollywood community, who would be the jewel in the crown in the gay tiara?
Well, not I can't speak for all gays.
Oh, yes, you can.
You know, but I think George Clooney is probably the most attractive male.
Yeah, if I was going gay, Clooney all the way.
Clooney
you
crosses
know, intelligence,
both.
Charm, good taste. Money, I mean, you know, all the desirable things.
Let me ask you this. On the George-on-George love affair, who would be the top?
George-on-George?
Yes.
You and Clooney.
You and Clooney.
Oh, that George.
Between the two of you.
Anyway.
Really?
Oh, top down, upside down.
Nice.
All over.
And I've
you
I've
don't
heard.
Just come out. You come flying out.
Bursting out of the closet.
I'm in love with George today.
Yeah, me too.
He comes out of the closet like Kool-Aid comes out of the house.
First
out. Frankly,
Kool-Aid.
I never felt like, well, yeah, I was in the closet. You know, I'm a creature of my times. You know, I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. In the 50s.
Right.
And I dated girls, you know, because, you know, at that age, you really want to be part of the gang, you know.
Right.
And yes, there were kids that were fey, and, you know, you said, oh, no, I'm not like them, you know.
Right.
But my hormones were saying, you know, yeah, Janie's nice, I like her, but Bobby, well, he's something else, you know. But you go,
weird in that
you date Janie, love you know.
George, how do you feel about Adam?
He is cute.
Mm.
Yes, and I know he knows it.
He does know. He flaunts his looks all the time.
He does
stuck up. All right, we need
and
to
Danny,
take.
And Danny, you've got good arms. You work out, don't you?
Better to hold you.
What about that George. Guy, the bald guy that does the sounds?
Oh, they've been together.
I think there's intelligence.
That's a no. That's a no. That's a huge no.
We need to take a break. George Takei. Heroes coming back, so keep an eye on that. And then thank God you're here. next Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
There's another picture coming. Ninja cheerleaders.
Ooh.
We'll have to talk about that.
Love to another time. We're plumb out of time. Please come back and send us new commercial by yelling, "Hey, Kool-Aid." That's all I want to hear.
Well, before that, ninjacheerleaders.com.
Nice.
Hey, Kool-Aid.
Well, that's it. Too much show. I want to thank Jamie Foxx. Evening with Jamie Foxx and friends. It's going to be the Pechanga Resort and Casino this Sunday, April 15th. Kobe Bryant. Well, he's on a little team called the Lakers. Think you'll see him in the playoffs. And, of course, George Takei tomorrow. Ray Liotta. Tom Green. Def Rat Guy loaded for Bear. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
My body fluids are my own.